Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening from a balmy Phoenix, Arizona, where the temperature is probably lower than it is on the other end of this, the other end of connection here. Eddie, how are you? Good evening.
I'm pretty good. Doing okay. I just want to start off by saying, going on a little sentimental note, it is my 3-year anniversary to my lovely wife tonight, and we celebrated it by going out on a romantic interlude before the show. To a nice Italian restaurant in Eva and Claude's neck of the woods.
Pizza Hut?
Pizza Hut, yes. you're really a wisecracker there, let me tell you. And for some reason, I can't remember the name of the eatery, even though it was unbelievable.
I love. you ever see Grumpier Old Men? You ever see those movies of Walter Matthau? When they're going to open the Italian restaurant, and Walter Matthau says, "What do we need an Italian restaurant for when we got a Chuck E. Cheese right in town?"
Well, that is true.
Well, happy anniversary! I couldn't be happier for you two. You're a terrific couple, great bunch of people, the whole bit. I'm very happy for both of you. Please give your lovely wife my all the best and thank her for letting you spend your anniversary with me. Because let's face it, I am your other wife.
Yes, you're my lover by another mother. But I do appreciate that, and I'm trying to think, what's that Italian place near the bowling alley, Eva and Claude, there? The Italian place. They'll let you know. But anyway, it was great. I had the calamari, I had the eggplant rollatini, I was basking in the glory of rigatoni and hot fudge chocolate cake with ice cream. Emilio's, that's where I was. You guys got it. That's where I was, at Emilio's with the wife.
Not the Sizzlerante?
No, not the Sizzlerante. No. I love that place. I had my father's 70th birthday at that place. And so we went uptown where the fancy folks are, over there in Comac, that's upper class. So I had some calamari.
Comac, that's the hoi polloi.
That's the hoi polloi there in Comac. Then you get those Dick Hills idiots. But so that's what I did, and I tell you, I'm always amazed at the peeps, as I call them. Here, I'm just coming out in droves to see this program. I mean, we're sweating here. It's hot. It's brutal out over here, Jimmy. And everybody can just everybody's just come together, and it's fantastic. So, and there's still a lot to talk about, Jim. I mean, it never ends. Really, the off season seems like there's more to talk about in the off season than there is during the season because it's so boring when they actually play.
The drudgery doesn't stop when the games end, that's for sure.
Yeah. I mean,
it just continues on and on and on and on.
So, I don't know. So, I know that Adam Rader may join us later in the program around 9 o'clock. Adam Rader from Ranger Greats. Adam wanted to kind of speak about Glenn Sather and his feelings and, since he is an author, a good friend of the show, as we like to say. Maybe he'll come along. But we always like to hear from you guys first before any of these big-time authors, because let's face it, most of the fans know more. But Adam's both. He's an author and a fan, so he's a super combo, as they say.
Adam Rader is to this show what Alec Baldwin is to Saturday Night Live.
I agree. I don't care much for his partner, that Russ Cohen, but he's cool. I'm only joking.
And on a day like today, he really does have sweaty balls.
Oh, that's sad.
Let me ask you a quick question before we get into all the Ranger stuff. With the weather being what it is there the last couple of days, how many times have you heard the phrase, "Is it hot enough for you?" A lot of people say that, right? You hear that a lot.
When you
live in Florida, in Arizona, it's always hot. You never hear it. It's hot enough for everybody. But, you know, there, you always got that. You got the guy at the gas station, the guy at the 7-Eleven. Is it hot enough for you? How you doing? Hey, what do you think? Is it hot enough for you?
Yeah, and there's always some, you know, I see that's the title of tonight's show on the blue shirt banner.
Yeah.
Hot enough for you? But there's always some guy who's got to top you. Well, it's going to be hotter tomorrow. They're talking 400 tomorrow. You know, you might as well be on Mercury.
Warm today.
Yeah.
Warm
yesterday.
Going to be warm tomorrow, too.
Oh, what is that? Again, is this Donald Brashear back on the show here? But, you know, yeah, it's true. I'm looking at the, I don't know, it's hot. I've been dealing with it. When you're a big man, it gets freaking nuts with the heat, but I've actually left the house the last 2 days. So so we got a lot of new people in here. And we also got some returnees. I'm just looking. I just logged into the chat room. Mike Zippo.
Yeah,
Double H.
Mike Zippo's here. And the blue shirt bastards, they're all here tonight.
Paul Revere's writers. I love that. Our resident chef, Quick Release, is here up in Vermont, going to school in Vermont. So, anyhow, so let's get down to business. Let's get down to beeswax. Ranger hockey.
Rusty says he's out of talc.
What is he in talc for? To cool down?
Hey, shower each day.
Shower today, keeps the odor away. Have you had your shower today? You remember that stuff?
Of course. And Ricky's here. Good evening, Ricky, and the anti-woot, and everybody's here. The bee's knees, the talc overload, Frosty. We'll keep you cool tonight, buddy. Get in front of the air conditioner, take your pants off, do what you got to do, and we'll talk some hockey. All right, so what do we got? We got Ryan McDonough officially signed yesterday. And and everybody seems to think this is the end for Wade Redden. As we like to say on this show, curtains.
It's curtains.
Curtains, hockey.
I think, well, I hope so. But then again, I also I'm getting IMs during the show. I think I'm a little worried, Jim. I'm a little worried. Not about Renton. I could care less if he gets by a bus. But if they're going to punch in a lot of these young guys and put them right in the NHL, I don't want to see them get Gilroyed. And I need my Gilroyed coming to the too soon. Coming too soon and not perform, being rushed, so to speak. I don't want that to happen. Some detractors will say that Gilroy perhaps was rushed. Not Gilroy. Delzato really should have spent another year in the O or started in the minors. And I don't want to see McDonough rushed up to the big club. And, you know, and then they're going to try to force Kreider or Stefan. And just because they have no cap room to get anybody, they're just going to throw all these things. And down the line, what's going to happen is either you're going to, for lack of a better word, retard their progress. Or, as I was talking to you this afternoon about this scenario, say these kids are as good. Let's go into the perfect scenario. Kreider is good. Stepan is good. McDonough is good. Delzato is another, you know, Goligowski, maybe better. You got Gilroy turns it around. You know, he chips in. All these picks do well. Now, what happens when it's time to sign these guys? You know, when it really asks for real money. Now, hopefully, Glenn Sather is not in the picture, but we're going to, by the time these guys get good, we're going to lose them. And they're going to go on to bigger and better things. You saw, and I don't even think we'll get to the point where we'll be winning Stanley Cups like the Blackhawks did if these guys in the perfect scenario would turn out to be good. We're going to be like just making the playoffs with these guys because we've got so many other stiffs on the team. So it's a, you know, it could be a possibility. Listen, I know I'm putting the horse before the cart, or the cart before the horse, so to speak, whatever that stupid saying goes. But you know, it's a scenario. I don't want to see these guys rushed because we just don't have the talent now. That we saw a guy who was a Hobie Baker Award winner last year, a 25-year-old guy, come in, and he was a stiff. I mean, he had a good preseason. That was it. I mean, I'm actually, just to continue and finish this, I'm actually looking for Gilroy to improve. And not a little bit, because I know people will be like, well, he can't improve that much. He wasn't very good last year. I'm looking to him get a little bit caught before the horse. Thank you. God, I swear, if it wasn't for this chat room, I don't think I'd get through the freaking show. They help me.
They're so freaking smart out there.
Oh, they are. They're smart. So when you talk a guy who's an experience level, that guy, a 25-year-old college guy playing the NHL, and then he bombs. Granted, he is learning a new position, so, you know, in theory and the whole thing. But I'm worried that – how can you say – let me ask you this. I'm going to end it on this. How can anyone say he's NHL ready when a guy is playing in college? How can you say that? He's NHL ready. I don't know. I have problems with that.
Yeah, it's a good. You raise a fair question. But hey, look, how long's Wayne Redden been in the NHL? Is he NHL ready? He's ECHL ready.
That's true.
I think it works both ways.
Yeah. No. Wade Redden's a detractor on the ice. He really is. I mean, he's a detriment to the team.
Mantar. Redden gets way too much abuse.
He's stirring things up. He sees a lot of new people, so he's like Jaws looking, throwing the chum out there. Actually, he's like the fisherman.
He's like the guys at the fence in Shawshank. Fresh fish, fresh fish. All right, we got take calls. We got calls right off the bat. You want to get right to the phones?
Yeah, why not?
All right. 201-248, you're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
Hello, Jim. Hello, Eddie.
You know,
how are you doing, John? How are you?
John, I sent you 3 p.m.s to send me your number so that I knew when you were here, and you never answered me.
I left my house. I apologize, Jim.
You left your house. How could you leave your house a day like today?
Why? How's the weather over there, Jim?
Not as hot here as it is there. All right, John. Oh, here you go. Since you've been asking me for this for a month, here it is. There you go. Welcome
What's
to the program,
the
Mr. Hello, Newman.
What's the deal with the Rangers? What's the deal? Can't they get any younger?
We are younger. How young you want them to be?
I don't know. I heard about Corey Locke with the Senators now.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, Corey Locke went to the Senators. So Ranger fans can finally let go of the fact that he ain't going to be the savior. There's a reason why he spent 7 years in the AHL.
injuries. They've lost over 200.
I'm sorry. I was distracted. Cutter put up a... Go ahead, John.
No, I'm not upset with that, Jim. I'm not upset with that, honestly. I couldn't care less about Corey Locke. But I'm just upset with the scene. They got to do something. I don't know what they're waiting on with Girardi. Girardi's on arbitration. I don't understand about Stahl. What's up with any news with that?
Eddie's
got an interesting theory on Stahl and Girardi. Eddie, why don't you share it and we'll get everybody's opinion on it? Locke was going to bring us the cup. Who, John Locke?
I do. I have a theory. I didn't even know. I wasn't aware of this. What was my theory? I forgot all about it.
About why they haven't signed Stahl and Girardi. You only shared it with me about 4 hours ago.
I don't know. I don't remember what I said. I think I had food I had at Marine.
I was on I was on the phone with this guy, Eddie, a couple hours ago before the show, and he brought up an interesting point. He said that it's possible that the Rangers just have no idea what the market value is for Stahl and Girardi, and why they haven't signed them.
They don't know how to work the cap at all. So they're
Eddie,
afraid to sign
anybody. Please call in.
Yeah. Yeah, that was my thing. My thing was, I think they can't sign anybody until they get them locked down because they don't know how much money is really available to them. And this speaks to why this should have been done months ago. And, waiting and waiting, and guarantee it'll be like we'll be watching a preseason game and, Glenn Sather says that Stahl is not close to signing, and then Tortorella like, we'd like to have him here. We surely would like to have him here. He's a big part of our team. And we'll be seeing that crap by the time it comes. So they're saying there's too much echo for me. Echo, echo, echo.
I don't hear you echoing at all.
No, I think it's your crappy computer, Frosty.
All 10 of the people that are saying you're echoing.
I hear it also, Eddie.
Okay.
I don't hear it.
Because you got a crappy computer.
I'm on my cell phone. What are you talking about?
Not you. I'm talking to Jim.
I know.
Okay.
And by the way, Eddie, happy anniversary.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. And I will pass it along to the missus.
I'm surprised she let you on the computer tonight.
I have a very good relationship. My wife... she knows the things I love, and she allows me to do them. So.
That's a good thing. That's a compromise is a good thing in a relationship, let me tell you.
Yeah, I'm very lucky in that regard. I have to say, the good Lord smiled upon me the day I got married. Or somebody agreed to marry me. So, let's look at that one.
Was it an arranged marriage, Eddie, or are you guys consumed naturally?
Consumed naturally. What the?
I don't know. I'm having a few too many. What are you talking about?
I'm having a few too many.
What is she, a praying mantis? She devoured him on the wedding night?
No, it happened naturally.
That's good. I'm happy for you, Eddie. I'm happy for you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Just like Claude and Yvonne. Just like Claude and Yvonne Friday with their anniversary coming up.
Oh, yeah? Well, how many years they've been there? Long, long, lot longer than me. I know that.
Yes, actually, we should wish the happy couple. They are married 20 years.
Oh, wow. What's that, cardboard? What do they call that 20-year anniversary? Cardboard?
Is that silver?
Cellophane.
Yeah, cellophane. It's fish stick dinner.
And Eva put their wedding picture on Facebook the other day, and she had the highest hair I've ever seen. It was like I thought I was watching a Whitesnake video.
Well, it's funny because I saw that pic, and my friend John got married right about that time, and his wife's hair is the same height with that same kind of like I don't know what they call it, but like the headband, headdress there they have. Was the same kind of thing, and it was a wacky era. Let's face it. And I think that was Claude's fifth marriage. So he's doing well. He found a keeper after five times.
His fifth marriage.
So anyway, that's yeah. So everybody's got the nuptials rolling, so to speak. So
all right, Newman.
Have a good night. Keep me on hold, please.
Sure, we'll do.
Take care, my friend, and thanks.
Thank
for the
you,
good
sir.
Wishes.
Happy anniversary, everybody.
All right. Robbie, you're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. What's going on, buddy?
What's going on, guys?
How are you?
I'm doing good.
Wait a minute. First of all, let me talk about Robbie.
Uh-oh.
Robbie, did you make any kind of snide remarks on my Facebook?
What do you mean?
Maybe a picture of me in a pool or something.
What are you talking about? No, I like that picture. I thought you looked good.
I don't think so. I think you were taking a shot at me.
Well, what did he say?
He said,
what did he say?
I'm speechless, or I'm speechless too. Listen.
Yeah, that's what Cohen said too on that picture.
And that's, well, that's why he's never coming on the show again.
Oh, God, I didn't know, Eddie.
No, no, dude, I'm only kidding. I don't,
I know.
I wouldn't have posted it if I didn't think I was going to take any flack for it, but you got to admire a man who's so out of shape and doesn't care what people think about him. That's something that even people with good bodies should aspire to. Just don't give a crap. You know what I'm saying?
Look, all I know is we found the January picture for the 2011 Blue Shirt Banner Radio Beefcake Calendar.
Oh, geez. Yeah. More like not cheesecake. More like cannoli cake. Cannoli cake calendar.
Oh, no, that's not good. No. I'm watching the Mets right now. It's 1-1 at the end of five innings.
1-1?
Okay.
Yeah, 1-1 at the end of five. The head runners at the second and third, and two out and race going right back to the pitcher. But anyway, there's one thing I also wanted to bring up. What is this with Tortorella saying that Messier, he didn't want Messier in the near the locker room? Like, what is wrong with Tortorella? Does he like have like this, like, who does he like? Is he he thinks he's like the king of the world or something like that? Like, where does he, like, I just don't understand him. Like, he hates everyone.
Well, hold on. When did he say that?
I read it on SNYRangersBlog.com that that he didn't want Messier anywhere near the locker room. And I read it, well, I don't know how reliable the HF board is, but when I saw it on SNY, I know that's reliable, so I know that they're out, that was really true. But, like, Tortorella, what do you think goes through his mind half the time?
Well, Robbie, I got to be honest, you know, this is not, you know, I don't spend a lot of time defending John Tortorella and his actions, but you know, he's the head coach of the team, and he's got to run that locker room. And you know, guys like Messier just hanging around, it's a distraction. You know, Mike Keenan, you know, Neil Smith, when he was GM of the Rangers, he used to like to get on the ice with the team, and Mike Keenan threw a fit. It's a distraction. You get on the ice, and you know there's Mark Messier skating around, and you know I don't necessarily have a problem with it. I see what you're saying, Robbie. But you know he's the head coach. That's his prerogative. If he thinks Messier's a distraction, his right. I don't think a lot of head coaches would want, you know, the assistant to the assistant GM or whatever the hell Messier's official title is, if he has one. You know, just floating around, you know, hanging around, palling around with the team. That's you know, he's front office.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But another thing though, Stahl. I have a feeling that Stahl is not going to be on the team this year. I think that he's someone. I don't know why. Like you said, they don't know what they're doing with the cap space. They don't know how much is like the trade value is. They don't. Stahl is not going to be on the team there, and neither is Girardi. But I think that's really sad because I really like Stahl. He is really the top D-man in the league. But it's just, it's the same thing that happened with Dubinsky last year. It's going to happen. I can see it already.
So you're telling me you're telling me you don't think Stahl is going to be – you think he's done as a Ranger? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, I said, well, I mean –
I think you are the heat too long.
I think – you think what, what, Eddie?
I think he was out in the heat too long.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Robbie, Stahl's going to be on the team. The Rangers have all the leverage right now, and that's why they're taking their time, just like they did with Dubinsky last year.
How much
Stahl will be on the team.
Hello?
How much?
Hello.
Yeah.
How much do you think he's worth?
I don't know. $10 an hour plus tips.
Now, I was a little high last week. I think I got too crazy with him. I think he's worth $4 million. $3.5 million, $4 million? I think that's where I got him at.
I mean, that seems to be, you know, that seems more than reasonable. But, you know, what do I know? I'm just a fat guy doing an internet radio show.
And just speaking to Robbie, what Robbie said about Torts and Messier, if you got that FAN clip, it's kind of weird that Torts was so adamant about keeping Messier after that ridiculous endorsement that Messier gave to Tortorella on FAN a week and a half.
You want me to play it again?
Yeah, sure. play that.
All right, here it is.
I only have one other hockey question because Boomer's the hockey guy here, so let me just get it out of the way and then I'll let you guys do your thing, all right?
Mm-hmm.
As a guy who played for Mike Keenan, and we all know who Mike is and, you know, the kind of guy he is, and won a cup with him, and don't lie to me, because we have a rule on this show, as you know, you're a frequent guest, you lie to women, you lie to kids, you don't lie to men, all right? You do not like Tortorella, is that fair to say?
Who?
You.
Me?
Yes.
I like Tortorella. I think he's a great coach.
You do?
I do. I think he's, I don't know if there's many guys that could have coached that team to the success that we had last year. I think he's a demanding coach, but I think he's a guy that obviously has won before, so he comes with that kind of background. And to me, that you know, coaching is not an easy profession. I certainly have a lot of respect for it, being around it the last my whole career and the guys that I've coached and coached well, but I don't have a problem with John Tortorella coaching this team.
I still like when he says you don't like Tortorella. Who? Me? What? What? Who, me? I like John Tortorella. I think he's a great coach.
That's the reason for our success last year.
He's the reason why
I enjoyed that success.
If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have been the 8.5 seed.
Yeah.
I got news. What the hell would we... We wouldn't be on the air right now if we had success. We've been bitching since the season ended. I mean, really. I mean, it's been a... We can overview this disaster for another year. It gets worse.
If it wasn't for John Tortorella, Olli Jokinen wouldn't have been the Flyers' MVP.
Yeah. Hey, I got one question though before you get that. This is gonna be really, really random though, but what would you do if Glenn Sather called in to Blue Shirt Banner? I'm not kidding. What would you do if he called in?
I'd ask him who's responsible.
Honestly, if you put me on the phone with Glenn Sather, I'll tell you this. I would be respectful. I don't know why, but I would be. I guess because he has, many years ago, had success. He played the game of hockey in a time, but I would ask him, who really makes these decisions? Like, who is the advisor that says, you know what, Derek Bougard fought 7 times last year. He's going to help us get people not to run Henrik. And then Glenn Sather goes, well, how much does he want? Well, the Oilers are offering him 3 years at 1.6, but we can probably get him, if we offer him 4, do that deal. That guy who's advising him, I want to know his name. Because he is not following the game that closely or he's following it too closely in, like, you know, in a different day gone by where goons actually solve problems. Goons today just fight the other team's fighter, and I wanted to address this because me and Ricky have been going at this on Twitter about the Bugard signing. I'll ask you this, Robbie. You're a young guy, and you probably know. I mean, you watch the Rangers. What is a fighter's job to do?
Just to energize the team, the crowd, and, like, to be the tough guy and, like, to defend your teammates.
Right.
At least that's my opinion.
Right. That's true, and that's exactly right. Now, a guy who fights now, and I don't want to hear everybody's afraid to fight him, okay? The top fighter in the league last year fought about 35, 39 times, okay? That'll give you a non-fight fan an example. He fought, I think, seven times last year, seven times the year before that, and like 10 before that. So are you telling me that he's only going to excite us seven times a year? And that, because he's useless in every other facet of his game.
Oh,
he
hasn't scored in 4 years. Is that true?
That's true. He hasn't scored in 4 years. So, in this day and age, you need guys who can play the game and be tough and play.
That's
this
true.
This guy is, you know, I love the era when it was true. When you go into Philly, everybody would fight. Bugard would jump Mike Richards. Let's say this was back then. That's what would happen. You get a 6'8" guy pummeling Mike Richards. That's all great with me. And if you think that Henrik gets run, that's nothing. I mean, that was his reason that Seda gave. I saw too many people putting snow in Henrik's face, so we went out and got the best in the business. You might have gotten the best fighter per fight, but he doesn't fight a whole lot, and he's not going to energize the crowd a whole lot. So to me, locking him up for 4 years is a waste.
Yeah, it's right.
Of course not right. They give me on the radio.
Speaking of locking up, though, I heard this absurd rumor of Ilya Kovalchuk signing with the Islanders $10 million a year. Why, let me ask him, why would he even consider playing for the New York Islanders? You have to go, a player like him, who is a two-time 50-plus goal scorer and a three-time 40-plus goal scorer, even consider? He wouldn't even cement tension. He wouldn't, like, cement his legacy or anything. He has a few young players there, but he doesn't even have a team around him. No one goes there. Why? I could see him resigning with the Devils because, like, at least they're not as delusional, if you know what I mean. But I can't believe that he would even consider signing with the Devils. I mean, the Islanders, rather. The Devils I can see.
Well, if the Islanders did offer him 10 years, $10 million a year, nobody else has, so that might be the reason why he would sign with the Islanders.
Yeah, but I don't know why anyone would want to play for that.
Why did Wade Redden sign with the Rangers?
Well, I don't know. It's the same. That's a good point. But so I don't see why anyone would want to play for that.
Well,
organization, you
know what?
Hempstead.
Yeah, and you know you're right. And I'm just a little. I really didn't think Big Wang would actually try to dabble into spending some money and throwing more money away.
That's true.
But
that's really unlike the Islanders.
Yeah. And here's something that speaks to what you said. Apparently, according to Arthur Staple from Newsday, the Islanders offered both Paul Martin and Dan Hamhuis more money than Martin got from Pittsburgh, five years, $25 million. And Hamhuis that got with the Canucks, 6 years, $27 million, because they didn't want to play for the Islanders. Martin reportedly asked Snow about Nassau Coliseum and the Lighthouse Project, which is still just a proposal. And Martin's agent, Ben Hockinson, said Garth was honest with him. Garth said the team was there for five more years, and I could just see it in Paul's face that building is going to be a huge hurdle for Garth to overcome. Well, this is the guy who wrote the article. The guy said that the building is going to be a huge hurdle for Garth to overcome with free agents like Paul Martin. So the building is now affecting them getting people signed. This is how bad it's gotten over there. That dump, that cesspool, that garbage heap in Hempstead, people don't want to go there because it's an eyesore. So you're right.
Exactly.
Why would Kovalchuk go? He is a greedy player. So
and
he may go just for the escrow.
That's true. And Jim, you said, why would Wade Redden sign with the Rangers? Well, you play in the world's most famous arena. You get attention.
Well,
you get more than six. You get more than $6 million a year, and yeah, pretty much. That's the reason. At least in my opinion, that's why he would want to come to the Rangers, Redden.
Because nobody else was dumb enough to pay him that much money. All right, Robbie, we're going to move on and take some other calls. We'll talk to you next week. All right.
See you later. All right, thanks.
Take it easy, buddy.
Appreciate
take care, Robbie.
Bye.
All right.
Can you imagine that, Jim? I know we're going to get some more calls, but when the players are now saying, and I'm sure because he plays in the New York metropolitan area, he knows about the Coliseum and its woes, and you know, and now it's becoming a deterrent for them to get people to play it because that place is such a shithole. So that's more problem for the Wangers than good. But I'm surprised that the Islanders are actually in the free agent market, because how are they going to finish last if they get Kovalchuk? They want top five picks. Isn't that the plan? Or are they changing?
If you're going to be bad, be really bad. Don't be mediocre.
Yeah.
All right.
That's a great image.
Another phone call. 917-887. I think this is Zach. Zach, is that you?
It is me. What's going on, guys?
Are you in Philadelphia?
What's going on, bro?
I am live in Philadelphia, and let me tell you, my God, the sooner this ends, the better.
I can't help but notice you sound a little bit like you've been celebrating Eddie's anniversary.
Happy anniversary, Eddie, and happy anniversary to Claude and Eva. I'm sure they are in the chat room listening.
Yes, they are.
Have you been celebrating?
I have not been celebrating, unfortunately. I've been too busy dealing with so much stuff here. I actually have to go to the airport in a couple of hours to pick up a student from Korea.
Female?
No, male.
Oh.
Jim, don't do that to me.
What? I'm just asking a question.
Look, this is a professional broadcast.
I am a professional broadcaster. It is my job to question everything.
I am a counselor. I am picking up a male student, and I'm not going to do anything wrong.
One for you.
Oh, man. Oh, guys, let me tell you something.
Have you seen any Flyer fans out there?
I have. I've been giving them a look, and they've been running.
Zach, I love you, but you have about as much business being a counselor as Donald Brashear has of being a boxing coach at this point.
Hey, don't compare me to Brashear, okay? I'm in my own category, and I'm doing fine.
Oh, he gave you what for?
So what's on your mind, buddy?
I'm just following the free agency while dealing with other stuff here. Dealing with a parent yelling at me on the phone because she thinks it's all my fault that her student is isolated and is not in the class that she wants to take, that the student wants to take, and
what do you think this is, the Frasier Crane show? I don't want to hear your problems.
Now you're hearing my problems. We signed in.
Go ahead, Zach. I'm listening.
We signed an enforcer, or quote-unquote enforcer. I don't know how to pronounce this guy's name. I'm calling him Booger. Why did we sign him for $1.6 million for 4 years, and we're trying to get Stahl, and we're having troubles with that? Why?
Because we need fighters, because the Flyers and Islanders have stocked their lineup for the fighters, and we've got to match them.
They make it seem like that we're going to put the fourth line on the ice all the time. So somebody runs into Lundqvist, then we put our line on, and the players who ran into Lundqvist will get off. While there's a defense, we'll just be standing there wondering, okay, what should we do now?
You're right. But some Ranger fans feel that we need appropriate tag team partners to fight these guys. It's going to be Prust and Bugard. against Shelley and Carcillo and Janopka, whatever that guy's called, and the other goon, the Islanders got. So,
to protect the goalie, is not in the job description of all enforcers. It is not. Everybody knows that.
I know. All they do is go, enforcers go after an enforcer, and that's it. Got to get forward thinking.
Lost in all of this is how are we going to replace Jody Shelley's offense? They have not done that yet.
That is true. I don't know how to do that either.
Now, Dark Ranger is reporting the Russian papers have confirmed Zverev's a flyer.
Zverev what?
Another reason to hate Zverev.
Because he's a
flyer
now?
You're in Philadelphia. Get out there, Ed, young Jimmy Olsen, and get a confirmation.
Zach, why don't you pick Zverev up at the airport instead of that Korean kid?
I might just do that. I'll wear my Ranger jersey to pick him up.
Yeah, there you go. Say thanks for the 23 goals. I can't remember one of them.
Yeah.
Should tell him I want my money back.
Oh, that's it. Well, try to see if you can get his confirmation. Maybe the Korean kid's into hockey.
Maybe he knows Esa Tikkanen.
I don't know anybody in this program who's interested in hockey, yet I have so many people that want to go ice skating, and I've actually made a reservation to go to Voorhees, New Jersey, next Sunday to skate in the Flyer Skate Zone.
Oh, there's a good time.
I was talking to somebody there mentioning that, and I said, yeah, we just got to get it cleared by the insurance, and we got to make sure that it'll cover me because I'm going to wear a Ranger jersey. And then the lady's like, I don't think you should be doing that. And I said, would you rather wear my Blackhawks jersey? And she said, yeah, you can wear your Ranger jersey. You'll be fine.
And also, maybe that Korean kid is good at math. Maybe he can help figure out the cap situation.
I'm an accountant. I can help him figure out the cap situation.
You know, Zach, you're supposed to be a counselor to these young people. Why don't you teach them the game of hockey? Tell them about this show, and help everyone out.
It's hard. They're all from California, Florida, or overseas. And everybody was in the Northeast region, like football, baseball, and basketball, and they don't know what hockey is. This is my life.
That sucks.
All right.
I can't drink, Eddie. Stop doing that to me.
Okay.
So what are you, strictly on meth now?
I have to be clean and sober the entire summer.
Do they test you?
No, they weren't testing me, but they could see. But I got 2 days off, and August 7th, I'm going to a Met game, Mets-Phillies in Philadelphia, and that's when I'll party.
YouTube videos to follow, I'm sure.
I hope not.
All right, Zach. Well, thanks for checking in. We'll talk to you next week, hopefully. Have fun.
About next week, but I'll try as soon as possible to get on the show again.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care, everybody.
Take care, my friend.
All right.
All right. Now.
He's got all kinds of problems, that guy.
Oh, yeah. Now,
he's got a mental case, that's for sure.
Yeah, he's got to be free of mental case. And Ricky was making a good point. The Flyers sign like everybody. I don't know how they stay under the cap. They got to be trading. They got to be moving some people. I think that Jeff Carter is going to be out of there for some reason. But before Adam Rader may join us or may not join us between the 9 and 9:30 range. Guys, I have to tell you, the mainstream media, as we call it, has been bashing. I mean, really bashing Sather. I mean, it only comes once a year on July 1st, but some of the things they're saying about him in the press. Jim, what did you say that they said? What was it, ESPN magazine or something?
Puck Daddy had... he spoke to a couple of some agents today, and here I'll read this really quick. He started
Puck
by talking
duty?
About what's that?
Puck Duty.
Puck Daddy, former guest of the show, Greg Wyshynski. He spoke to a couple of agents, and first he talks about Marty Biron. In case you guys didn't read this, I'll read it for you real quick. Last summer, Biron misjudged the goalie market and saw his opportunities disappear as players like Dwayne Rolison and Nikolai Habibulin were aggressive in finding new homes. He ended up taking a one-year deal with the Islanders behind Rolison. This summer, Biron was one of the first players to sign with the New York Rangers, 2 years at a minuscule $1.75 million. According to one agent, his signing affected every B-level goalie's price tag during the frenzy. He undercut almost all of them by coming in at the number he did. And then, finally, every agent panned the Derek Bougard signing as the worst one of the summer so far, although one agent placed the Olli Jokinen contract right with it. They agreed that 4 years and $6.5 million for a player with both a history of concussions and a decline in fighting totals was a confusing move. They also felt that the Rangers, more than any other team, were a franchise without a plan during this summer's frenzy. "Keep Glenn Sather away from the switch," said one agent. You know, as a Met fan and a Giant fan and a Ranger fan, I've lived through periods where all of my teams were kind of the laughing stock of the league. But with the Rangers, I mean, it just seems year after year after year, the whole league's just laughing at them.
Here's a guy from SportsIllustrated.com. I don't have his name right in front of me, but this is what he says about it. "Derek Bougard to the Rangers, 4 years, $6.5 million. It's no longer even worth asking how Rangers GM keeps his job. Clearly, there are no standards of accountability in that organization. A year after the Donald Brashear debacle, Slats misfired again by giving the admittedly intimidating boogeyman both terms and dollars that sail well beyond the absurd. With so many glaring holes in the lineup, wouldn't one of those defenders," he's talking about Martin and Hamhuis, "have been better use of his cap space? Sather instead adds a goon who brings to the team no closer to being competitive on any level. Just a joke of a signing." This is like I wrote it, except for the defenders part, because the Rangers were not getting Paul Martin, or they have enough young studs coming up. But, you know, it's, I mean, it's just, I love it when they start piling on. I love it. But, you know, it's nothing new. It just gets to a point where it's almost embarrassing to say you're a Ranger fan. I love the team, guys, but you would love to have a management that's shrewd and be proud of how your GM. It's just so embarrassing. I mean, that's why we kind of all laugh at it, because really, it's so freaking embarrassing that our team is just the worst. Didn't you say they were one of the worst managed? And that was another thing you told me also, Jim, right? About the where they were rated as an organization or something?
Yeah, we'll get to that in a little while. I'll save that for 9 o'clock hour, maybe after Adam comes on, because I think if he hasn't read it, he'll get a kick out of it too. So we'll talk about that in a little while. And then I have a story about it tomorrow on blueshirtbanner.com, kind of a Ranger response to the ESPN story that we'll talk about in just a little while.
Okay.
So, you want to get back to the phones?
Yeah, let's keep them running.
All right.
What's on people's mind? What's on your mind? Call us.
Let's go to South Florida, 786-704. Is this Bob in Miami?
It is, guys. Hey, you know, by the way, to met the day, 3-1.
Okay. Thanks, Bob. You're breaking up a little bit, Bob.
I'm sorry. I don't know if that's why I call as much, because of the insanity of the Magic Jack system. Anyway, my point, you know, I can't believe I'm going to become a defender of the insanity that goes on at Rangers. Because there is no doubt they're the most dysfunctional organization, but every once in a while, strange things happen. And nobody ever takes into consideration why, say, they're signing, you know, that he signed. Maybe they've crack that gap to get me somebody in to protect me.
Bob, I hate to break you off, but you're breaking up really bad. We could barely understand you.
I hear what he's saying, though. He's saying, you were saying that Gaborik has brought Bogart in.
Yes. And the other thing is with all of the nonsense that everyone, and rightfully so, happened to the Rangers with their lack of plan that anybody can figure out, if you look at the team in the last 2 years since they brought in Gordy Clark, all of a sudden there's young talent coming in. Is Sather the genius we'd like him to be? You know what? As crazy as he is, if you look at the team, there's an awful lot of young players. The Rangers aren't going to win the Cup this year. They're not going to win the Cup next year. We all know that. People thinking, gee, why can't I get a better team? Is the team ready to be competitive? Until you got all those young kids playing, everything's just garbage on him. I would rather see, says, lose and get a top five pick. And that's what, you know, if you think about it and you look at it and say, maybe the Rangers are one draft away, they got five extra defensemen young, they got three midgets, the Hobbit, Bork's son, and Thomas they signed, they can make package and move up and give up the number one pick, give up a second round pick, give up their extra defenseman, one of their midgets, and all the other crap that they're laying around, and get into a top three draft pick where they can get a set that's a first line center, and then add them into the kids, and in 2 years, you can be something. We're not going to win anything next year. What is everyone complaining about? What do they think? They're going to send a miracle? They're going to make Christian into a really a front center that scores the goals? Who's hitting who? Drew's going to come back and score 25, 30 goals? You know, Roosevelt? Yeah, Giraldi is a nice third or fourth defenseman. On the Rangers, he's first pair defenseman. McDonough is just, if he makes the team, you think he's going to be a superstar? You know, I mean, the team, honestly, stop kidding ourselves. You know, every once in a while, you know, we look at it honestly, and it's all a crock. If we're laughing, we're laughing, and it's funny because they look like a bunch of clowns, and they don't know what they're doing. But Sather is actually, with all everybody knocking him, he hasn't made that humongous mistake and buried his head. If he doesn't do the right thing down in Harvard and doesn't count against the cap. Meanwhile, did anyone think, like I said in the beginning, that Gary got beat up, everybody stood around and watched him. And we were all playing for real that, you know.
Bob, I'm sorry I had to let you go. It was just too hard to understand you. I apologize. Bob, I would recommend you get on Skype and try that next time or give us a call on Skype. But I just got to say, there was some funny freaking... Did you see that Mandar and I, at the exact same time, both posted that if you played that backwards, it said Paul is dead? At the exact... I mean, that is hysterical.
I can't even speak. I'm frosty.
I'm Cadiddle Hopper. Bob, we love you, but you gotta get a better connection, buddy. Oh my god. I can't believe that Mandar and I both at the same time. If you play this backwards, it says Paul is dead.
Redmond dead. Wait.
Number nine.
Oh man, I'm sweating from the laugh. The laugh. Holy shit.
All right.
I got to scan myself.
Bob, www.skype.com. $2.95 a month, and the phone calls are perfect.
You know what? Bob was making, so he thinks I mean, I'm going to try to be the translator. I think it was he raised a good point of view that the Rangers should just, you know, stop with these midgets. Was that really cracked me up? But with, you know, he wants them to finish badly, but that's not going to happen. It's just not how they operate. Now, I'm getting my cue from my other director, Jeff Diamond. Jeff says, check out, Leaf Crisis on YouTube. Is a special tribute to BlueShakeBrandon.com and a little thing about Wade Redden, a nice video clip of Wade Redden. So,
well, very nice. Well, thank you, Jeff. We'll take a look at it later on, or if you haven't already, I'm sure you have. Post the link in the chat room. We'll check it out. All right, coming up on 9 o'clock. Let's bring. I believe this is Ricky. Ricky, welcome to the program.
Hey guys, how are you?
Good. Are you on the Magic Jack as well?
No, thank God.
Okay.
I thought that was Kane's voice box from the WWE.
Don't crack me up anymore. I'm sweating like a pig.
Larry King.
I gotta set the record straight. I don't want you to think that I hate this contract.
We can disagree, and you can go at me, and there's gonna be no problem. So go ahead.
Absolutely. I hate the contract. 4 years is ridiculous. It was stupid. The rumor, and they defended themselves by saying Edmonton was offering them the same deal and more money. That was stupid. He's here, and I'm going to tell you why he's here. He's here because Gabrick wanted him. He's here because Jody Shelley, no matter how much we all love Jody Shelley, publicly stated 5 minutes after he signed in Philly, he did not want to be a New York Ranger. He did not feel we had a chance to win. He didn't want to be here. So Jody Shelley's not here. Now Philadelphia has Carcillo, Pronger, Asham, Jody Shelley. The New York Islanders have Trevor Gillies and Konecopa. They went out and signed. The Devils have LeBlanc and a couple other kids like Caronte that are coming up and playing full-time this year. Toronto has Colton Orr and a couple other guys that can throw down up there. Boston has Thornton and other guys that can fight up there, Lucic. The Rangers finally went out and got a gun in a gunfight instead of bringing a baseball bat. Okay? They've stopped players in this position for years. They finally got a true enforcer in Colton Orr, and they let the guy go away because John Tortorella is a schmuck and didn't like him. The New York Rangers have been 40 years behind. And, Mouse, you know this. We've never had the guy since Nicky Fatiu that was the badass in the league. Yes, Bugard's fighting numbers are down. The reason his numbers are down is because he had a coach. I don't know how much you watched the Minnesota Wild. You think Tortorella made examples of players? This guy would dress and never take a shift. They would not play him. He is not that bad of an up-and-down player on a fourth line. Give the guy limited minutes, he can hit. The guy throws thunderous checks. He knows how to play the game. He's just not a guy that's going to be a Jody Shelley that can play with a double A and put up, you know, 4 or 5 goals. That's not his role. His role is to break people's faces, and he does that nonstop. I'm telling you right now, Henrik Lundqvist, you guys make me so furious at times. Everybody complained. We need toughness. Nobody protects Hank. Gabrick's getting beat up by Carcillo. Nobody did anything. Let Carcillo try that next year, because you know what Bugard is? Bugard's the guy that will go out and drop the gloves and grab Richards. See, that's what you guys are forgetting here. Bugard is not above grabbing a star and throwing a guy into the boards. He is an intimidator. He is not just a guy who goes out and fights other teams' goons. He provokes trouble. That's what this team finally has, is a guy that will go out and not just retaliate and fight. It's not going to be Colton Orr fighting Goddard at center ice. It's Bugard's going to go out and he's going to run Sidney Crosby and try to take his head off. And you know what? I'll take a 2-minute penalty for that, because for the first time, we have somebody that's going to do it. Now, if Tortorella forgets to put the bullet in the gun, then it's the Rangers' fault. And the contract sucks. But the contract sucks, but it's variable after 2 years. You could get rid of him very easily. And to correct one thing, he does not have concussion problems. He had a bad back. He has a narrowing of the spinal column, which causes pressure on the disc in his lower back, and that can cause a problem.
All right. Well, listen, you are the expert when it comes to fights, I've always said. So I'm going to take you what you've had to say under advisement, I will give the guy the benefit of the doubt now. I will not be bashing him anymore. And I'm going to see if he's out there going after the non-fighters and not just retaliating, but perhaps starting stuff. Wouldn't that be great?
If you know, I just think it's funny, too, Mouth, is that I like this signing for one main reason here. If you listen to a lot of things that were said after the signing, he said, I'm a New York Ranger because 5 minutes after free agency started, Marion Gaborik was on the phone with me trying to get me to New York. So that tells me Gaborik did not feel protected on this team last year, or that Gaborik felt that this needed to be addressed and address it with the best. And I think, you know, if you look for the last couple of years, Mouth, and this is something that bothers me, Aaron Varos is on this team because it was a horrible signing, yes, and everybody's going to say that. And again, it's free agency. Sather jumps the gun, signs a jerk off for $1 million. But he's also Avery's best friend. He's also Henrik Lundqvist's best friend. He socializes with him. This team has this, like, just this aura about it. It's like players, it's like this is not a swipe at Kotze, but, like, it's 30 years later, and we got a guy like Kotze who played 54 games with the Rangers, and he's still, like, a Ranger because he hangs out with Greshner, Fatiu, and these other guys who are lifelong Rangers. It's like a syndrome we've always had. It's like we got these players that come in because they're somebody's friend, and then they're hangers-on, you know? Like, what is Aaron Varos still doing on the NHL roster?
Yeah, I mean, I do agree with you. I mean, that does seem that there seems to be like these little cliques in this team when they, you know, and the cliques are of bad players predominantly hanging out with good players. And so, yeah, that does seem to be a problem. Out of question that came into me via IM, just for you, Ricky, and it was about what high-profile guys has Bugard fought?
I'm sorry, what high-profile guys?
Yeah.
Bugard has destroyed Todd Fedoruk's face, David Kotche. Bugard's gone with every heavyweight out west, George Parros, Ivanez. He's beaten every one of these guys down.
I will say one thing. You know, I am a fan of the thuggery and what have you back in the day, but you know what I like about this guy? He stands at center ice, and he just waits for the guy to come to him. Like, he's not going to go chasing you. He's not going to – if you want to fight, let's fight. You know, so and I guess I'm going to follow up PM from Jolton Joe Micheletti, who wants to know, has he actually attacked any stars of the league, as in high-profile people? Back up your argument that he will go after a Sidney Crosby and make us all happy.
He hasn't grabbed the guy and just pummeled him for no reason, because we all know that if he's done that, Gary Bettman would get the guy out of the game. But take a look at the highlight videos of Bugard taking 30-foot runs at players on the LA Kings, taking runs at guys on the Avalanche, hitting people and knocking them down, crushing people in the corners. Bugard will throw hits at stars. It's not like the guy's going to stand around. And when Bugard played a lot 3 years ago in Minnesota, Bugard played a lot with Marion Gaborik on the fourth line.
Okay. Right. Well,
Ricky, we have Adam Rader ready to go. If you want to call back in a little while, we'll get you back on. We can finish up the debate or talk about whatever you want. All right.
Take care,
we'll talk to you in a little bit.
Good night, guys. Bye bye.
All right. Let me see here if I can get the switchboard to work. Let's welcome in our good friend Adam Rader. Adam is one of the authors of 100 Ranger Greats, and if you don't have this book yet, there's no excuse for that. If you're a Ranger fan, you need to own this book. Adam, welcome back to the program. I said at the top of the show that you have become you are to this show what Alec Baldwin is to Saturday Night Live.
Five Timers Club.
I think you're past that now, and I even
Am
said
I really?
That on a, with your weather being what it is on a day like today, you've even got the sweaty balls.
Oh, listen, it's 90 degrees in my house. I haven't slept. I've had a good night's sleep in 3 weeks.
Other than that,
I'm just dandy.
You know, and by the way, we haven't spoken in person. Well, we haven't spoken aside from Facebook, but we do owe you congratulations on the birth of your daughter.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you.
Hope all is well.
Congratulations.
Yeah. The first thing she asked when she came out is, the Rangers signed who? And that was kind of a rough, introduction to the world. And we had to have that conversation. It was a little, rough. I'm glad you had me on. I got to hear. Was that Mandar? Ricky. Okay. Well, yeah, Bugard. That's an interesting signing. And you know what? Here's the thing. I sort of understand the reasoning behind the signing. But here's the thing about the Bugard signing that I found a little baffling. You have a player who basically does one thing. He fights. That's it. But this is in 1991, when there was still a place for the, in the NHL for the old school enforcer, and it didn't matter what you paid him because there was no salary cap. It was no big deal. The Rangers used to have Ty Domi, they had Koser, they had Chris King, and if you can believe this, they had them all at the same time. They were all in the team at the same time, if you can believe it. And it's not 1991, it's 2010. And there is a salary cap, and every penny you spend is precious in that system. And it's never been more important that every player on your roster be reasonably well-rounded. Brandon Prust is a perfect example. He's a fighter. Correct me if I'm wrong, he led the league in majors last year. But as we saw last spring, he's also got some ability. And I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do over the course of a full season. But for Bugard, a one-dimensional player who will play 60 to 65 games and who has not scored a goal in over 4 years, to get a four-year deal worth $6 million proves that Glenn Sather is A, living in the past, or B, is completely incapable of managing the salary cap. You could have taken for the same money, or for a lot less, you could have signed a dude from the UFC, Ultimate Fighting, and hired a skating instructor for him to teach him how to skate for under $1 million and gotten the exact same results.
Adam, I know I think you're being a little diplomatic because you forgot choice C, which is
choice C? We've got sound effects now. Boy, it's been too long since I've been on the show.
Hey, look, we spent a lot of money putting this thing together.
Listen, after I say something funny, do like a rim shot.
That is one sound effect I do not have.
Yeah, you got to get a rim shot. Or da-da-da-da-da-da.
The applause.
Something. Don't you guys think that Prust, given a full season, would have been a decent policeman for the Rangers and still given you good minutes and still contributed something at even strength?
Well, the thing is, yes, I agree with you. But in getting more into the convoluted logic of Sather is that he wouldn't sign Shelley for 3 years at cheaper because Shelley is old. Okay.
Yeah.
And I know everybody's going to come at me with the contract obligations, how you can get out of a contract. The last time I checked, when you sign somebody, every other team wants to add an asset. When the Rangers add something, the fans are already trying to figure out how we can get out of it, which shows you where the Rangers signings are going. But the way he described the negotiations with Shelley was kind of a little bit like cantankerous. Well, he was asking for 3 years. And he's 37. I mean, come on. Go cool yawns on this young man, this older man. And then you have Bugard. Now, we saw Jody Shelley. I was not a fan of Jody Shelley, but down the stretch, he played pretty well. As a matter of fact, as I remember on that last game of the year, he was the only Ranger who managed to score a goal in regulation. And he does have some hockey skills. I could live with Shelley and Prust, but then he lets Shelley go off. Shelley winds up getting his contract over in Philly. And apparently, we went younger. We went the youth movement route with the Goons. And then we locked this clown up for more money and more years.
Yeah, that's the galling part. But, look, I don't know that I would have given him 3 years either. But at that point, then I think you look at the minors, you look at unsigned, undrafted players. I mean, if all you need is a one-dimensional enforcer, and I don't even think it's a good idea in this day and age to carry a player like that because, as I said, every penny is precious. Every position becomes that much more important. If that's all you're looking for, you mean to tell me there's nobody in the minors, a dude 6'5", who does nothing but fight? You're gonna give this guy $6 million? That is precious cap space that's gonna be eaten up by a player who's not even gonna play all 82 games.
And Adam,
not gonna play.
And Adam, you know, like you said, the cap space is precious, especially when you have three players that are in obvious decline, who take up $19 million of your cap space.
Yes. Yeah, yes, you're making a bad situation worse. But you know what, look, I believe it or not, somehow this offseason, there have actually been some decent signings. The Baron signing I thought was really good. For under $900,000 a year, you get a backup for Henrik. That was, you know, you really couldn't ask for a better insurance policy. And you got him at a great price. That was a good signing. You agree with me on that?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
I wanted to see them get
Hedberg, but I'm okay with Biron.
I have to separate my heart from my head because, you know, I don't know. I got to get over this anti-Islander thing, but that wasn't the problem. I saw Biron play really bad in the first half. And his save percentage was not good. But then I listened to the press conference, and he played very well in the second half. And then I found out that he has a relationship with Benoit Ollet, the Rangers' goaltending coach. And he's looking to get back, you know, using this as a stepping stone to become a number one goalie again or compete for a number one goalie spot. So now I'm kind of like, all right, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. For the money he was signed, that was a terrific signing, especially if the guy is looking, you know, had played better because he looked awful in the beginning of last year. So now I'm coming around on that, and as long as he doesn't wear that Billy Smith tribute mask as a Ranger, I'm okay.
My guess is he'll find somebody to paint it for him.
Well, maybe you wear a Dave Tartarian tribute.
There you go.
But that,
on the other hand,
I want to say also, with Brashear's contract being eaten semi-eaten, and Bugard, the Rangers have pretty much $3 million in cap space kind of set aside for guys who are not going to play.
Right.
I mean, you know, Bugard, what was his time on ice last year, Jim? It was like 4 minutes a game.
Yeah.
He doesn't play. He was getting paid like a ridiculous amount for so, again, in the cap era, you want to be prudent about these things. You don't want to just do things. And the reason he gave me, Adam, is the thing that bothered me the most. If you're going to talk, again, I don't understand where they think we're from. But you cannot bullshit a New York person, a New Jersey person, a Connecticut person such as yourself. You cannot.
Do I need to defend my New York creds on this show?
No. I'm
okay. You think I'm nutmeg?
I know where you
are. All right. Listen, I'm from the mean streets of Yonkers. Okay? I like having a nice jumbo slice at Coronet between 110th and 111th uptown. All right, so don't question the New York creds.
All right, but when he says that he got Eric Bugard because he was sick and tired of seeing Henrik Lundqvist snowed in the face in the press conference, I mean, is that total nonsense? I mean, it's total nonsense.
No, that plays to, and I, you know, you don't want to put anybody down, but there's an element of every fan base, of every team, that looks the lowest common denominator. They come to the arena looking for fights, and, you know, if you tell them you're going to get a goon, they get very excited. Doesn't matter what you're paying him. Doesn't matter if he's taking a job away from somebody who can actually play. Oh, we're getting a goon. We're getting somebody who can fight. Great. Unfortunately, a comment like that appeals to the lowest common denominator in any fan base. And he knows that it's barely better than a PR move. I know that. Look, he's going to take a job. It's going to take a job away from somebody who you see the posts all the time. Oh, I wonder if Steppen's going to get a spot. I wonder if Kreider's going to get. They're not going to get a job. You have Bugard coming in here for $6 million over the next 4 years. They locked up Prosper and Christensen, which wasn't not terrible moves, but again, those are moves. Those are jobs that are not going to go to young players. That if you're hoping to see them, they're not getting jobs. There's no way they're going to make Glenn Sather was quoted in the Post a month ago. He said a player's contract isn't going to get him a spot on the team if he doesn't earn it, and that goes for everyone. That's nonsense.
We heard that last year too.
That's not, of course, Jim. That's nonsense. Because as of right now, by my count, 11 of 12 spots at forward are taken up. So who's getting a job? They gave Zuccarello what, a couple of million over 2 years. They're not giving him that to play in Hartford. He's
right.
Going to be in New York. He's going to be in New York on the fourth line with Tortorella complaining about him. But those are jobs that could have gone to somebody in camp. They have no faith in the people coming into camp.
It's the same thing with Zuccarello is this year's Gilroy. Gilroy
yes,
was signed
exactly.
to 1.1.
Yes.
Yeah, like it was a big hoopla. He's our guy. He's come to save the day. We made some of a splash in the whatever. I don't know what media they get any splash in New York about hockey, but
by the way, I'm rooting for him. Anybody that you call, and I think this is the greatest nickname ever. 100% of the credit goes to you. The Frodo from Moto. I love it.
Oh,
he came
up with that.
Oh, who did? Oh, yeah, right.
That's not
good. We won't close it. Look, I'll be pulling for him. I love a small player with some spunk and some skill. I love it. But come on, he has not played. He's not played 1 minute in the NHL, and you give him that kind of contract. It was two way, but I'm not expecting to see him in Hartford. Come on.
Yeah, I know, and you're right, and this also speaks to. We talked about this last week. What does this say when you sign this guy? I know this is not going to end the Rangers season. I know I got my man doll be out there saying, you're just wasting too much time on this. It's insignificant. But it's just an example of the much bigger problem, the continuing problem. It's a microcosm of what's wrong with the Rangers. I mean, and the thing is that what does this say to the other players who are in negotiations when they look at what money this guy got? And and the terms he got. You know, when Stahl's negotiating and he sees that this guy got $1.6 million for 4 years, his price goes up.
Yeah.
Only in base, Prosper is making less. I mean, with, you know, incentives, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's bad business. It's bad business.
Absolutely.
Fuck.
No, cap is look. I can't tell you that if you put me in the job tomorrow, I'd be able to do a better job managing the cap. But I can tell you this: I would go find a CPA and pay him $45,000 a year to do it for me. So I always know how much I'm spending this year, next year, 3 years out, 5 years out. It shows very. It's nothing you guys haven't complained about. It's nothing that fans aren't complaining about. But it's tough because it really limits what you can do. You want to give yourself some flexibility, and to sign every guy to big money long term, you just become strangled by those contracts. And
exactly.
How many
can you sweep under the rug?
Well,
how many can you keep sweeping under the rug? The wrist millers, the, you know what I'm saying, every year. I mean, it continues with these losers.
Yeah, I get the sense that the Holík buyout may have been a once, I mean, we haven't seen a buyout that big since. It makes you wonder if, you know, he got his one massive buyout And since then, it's kind of like, well, you made your bed, you got to sleep in it now. Makes you wonder.
Couple questions have been posed to me for our guest Adam Rader, or our guest call in Adam Rader. Cutter TML, who's known as his real name is Jeff Diamond. He's a big time Leaf fan up in Toronto. He wants to know why Larry Popine was in your book, because Wikipedia doesn't speak too highly of him.
Larry Popine?
Yeah.
Why wasn't he in the book?
His picture's in the book, isn't it?
If his picture's in the book, then he's in it.
You're working on that North Star book. You've forgotten all about your previous book.
Ranger who? 100
Hold on,
Ranger what?
I'm going to get the book. Hold on.
Larry Popine. Ron Popeil of...
Ron Popeil.
Inventor of hair in the can.
You know
Bronco.
What? If somebody wants to ask about Popine, that is that's a good question. It's a good question. Off the top of my head, I can't remember if Popine's in the book. It's a good question.
Well, that's one of the questions. And they also want to know, what do you think about the Rangers' defense and Matt Gilroy?
Matt Gilroy was rushed into service, and he had a solid collegiate career, but I think that what we saw in his first Ranger season is that, and it may have to do with the schedule, because they're used to shorter schedules, but he wasn't really ready for the NHL grind. He wasn't physical enough. He wasn't assertive enough on the offensive end, and that was supposed to be his calling card. He didn't impress Tortorella, and down the stretch when they had some injuries and it would have been nice to see him in there, he still sat. So Gilroy had a rough NHL debut, and this is going to be an important year for him coming up, because now you're going to have McDonough challenging for a job. You know the Rangers are still looking for a veteran defenseman to add from where, who knows. So he's going to actually have to compete for a job up front. Up front, you know who you're going to see up front. But on defense, there are actually going to be some people competing for jobs. So Gilroy is going to have a very good camp.
Yeah, I think he'll be better served to be in the NHL than the AHL.
Larry Popine, number 91 in the 100 Ranger Greats on page 30 and 31, with a picture of himself getting interviewed by Frank Gifford.
So here's the question. Obviously the first question is, why didn't I remember that Popine was in the book? But the second question is, why...
Did you read the book?
Listen.
I read this book extensively. I can't tell you how many times I've read this book.
Hold on,
Jim. He's hot. He's a new father.
Jim, number one, I haven't slept in 3 weeks. But number two, there are 100 players in this book. At some point, someone was going to ask me, hey, is this guy... in the book,
I was going to
blank out.
What number was Ulf Nilsson?
Ulf Nilsson was... That's not... Leave Ulf...
101!
Hold on. Ulf did not make the book, and...
He's not happy about it.
He was... Listen, to Ulf's credit, Ulf did contact us and said, why am I not in the book? And we...
You know why?
Well, we had to say, well, yes, you had a good Ranger career, but we looked at a lot of things. We looked at games played. We looked at statistics. We looked at awards won. We looked at a lot of things. And his career, injury-plagued as it was kind of brief. And that was really the major reason why he didn't make the cut. But he would sign off every email as the original number 11. So this is a guy who... No, he wasn't the first guy who wore 11 in New York, but I kind of like that he still had that Ranger pride. And that impressed me. It impressed me.
Well, I'm going to tell you why this came to your guys' attention. And this was your friend, the Mouse, doing.
Yes.
I was Facebooking with Ulf Nilsson and going back and forth, and he came over from Sweden during Christmas time, and I said, how about we meet and I'll talk with you, and, you know. So I bring my Ranger 100 grade book because I don't leave home without it. It's like I'm Carl Malden in the American Express. So I bring it with me. I truck it on down to Manhattan, and then now for some reason I thought he was in the book. So we're sitting we're sitting down in the lobby of this fancy dancy hotel, and I'm leafing through the book like a dope, and he's in it. I think he's in it. I go, Ulf, I don't know. Here's Anders.
Oh,
that's
boy.
Wait, that's not you. You're
not... It looks like, oh no, that's Pat Hickey.
Well,
I go, Ulfie, I'm sorry. I'm not in it. I go, you're not in it. Yeah. He goes, I should be in it. I go, I know, but you're not. I go, I know these authors. They're right on the ball. I go, and then he looks at Eddie Johnstone. He goes, that guy couldn't even tie my skates. I go, I know, you know. I go, I know, but, you know, it was a fan favorite. I'm trying to make excuses, like how I wrote the book. And I go,
Lauren Shabbat in the book, he played 80 games.
I averaged a point a game. I know
yes,
you did.
Yes, yes, that was one
you.
Of his.
I love
yes,
you.
Yeah.
I go, and then I go,
yeah, look, as I said, I love that he still has that passion and that pride in his Ranger career. He did often mention that he was a point a game. I know that. And I promise you that if we do another book and we're in the early stages of another book on the Rangers, that Ulf will get his due. I promise you. But
Adam, how about putting out a pamphlet, the 101st Ranger great, and just make it called Ulf Wilson. And you could kind of maybe send us a box of the pamphlets, and we'll pass them out to our friends and, you know, our fans and our listeners, and we'll set up a page, and anybody that writes in can get the pamphlet for free.
No, but you know,
it's not the worst idea I've heard tonight. I will say, I'll give you one piece of advice. If you know that Eddie Mio is going to be someplace, don't bring your book.
Okay, I will not bring my book to the Eddie Mio when I meet up with Eddie Mio Fund. But just to end up on the Ulf Nielsen note, he takes tremendous pride. I always thought, like, Europeans were kind of, you know, very loose and very, like, fancy-free. He takes his playing, especially with the Rangers, as well as his international experience, with tremendous pride. He is a prideful guy. He told me that he went out 100% every shift, face-offs, the little things, everything. And
I believe
it. He frankly told me by the time he came to the Rangers, his body was shot. Yeah, it was over.
Look what he did in Winnipeg. I mean, the years that he had with Hedberg and Bobby Hull. I mean, just he was an incredible offensive player, great playmaker.
He was.
Yeah, but yeah, his body was broken down, and it's unfortunate. Every era has players you can look at their career and say, "Gosh, what if?" You know, what if they'd stayed healthy? What if he'd been able to play another, you know, 4 or 5 years, or play another 300 or 400 games? You look at Orr's career, you say that. You look at Forsberg's career, you say that. You look at Lindros's career. I mean, all these guys. Lindros has become something of a punchline in recent years, but you know. You forget that for a brief period there, he was the dominant player in the league, and if he'd stayed healthy, my goodness, what he could have done. But Ulfie,
right.
God bless him. He'll be in the next book.
And I just wanted to ask you a question on a personal level. Now,
oh boy,
it isn't that personal. It's a kind of professional kind of question because you worked on this book and the 100 Ranger Greats, which everybody who's listening should go out and get immediately Amazon.com, Anywhere.com, Internet.com, actually, you can get it on. But you work closely with John Halligan, who we all love and admired and still love and admire. Now, the present guy that's working for the Rangers now, their public spokesmodel or their relationship guy or relations guy, is John Rosasco. Did you have any interaction with him when you guys did this book?
Hey, Jim, what did you call it, a pregnant pause?
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
he's got
the pregnant pause.
Best pregnant pause in internet radio. You know what's funny? I met your partner at the draft, and
yeah,
he had.
Right, hold on. Let me just clarify for those listening at home. Writing partner.
Writing partner. Yes, your writing partner, and you know the name came up. The name came up, and he had the same pause. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. Let me put it to you this way. Okay.
I didn't hear any of this, so this is really just we didn't talk about this beforehand, so I don't know what I'm stepping into.
Yeah. Jim, there are 30 NHL teams, there are 30 you know, media relations directors and countless other people under them. If you go throughout the league, there are some great people out there that I've worked with. One guy who I remember who was maybe one of the best of the bunch was a guy named Peter Hanlon out of Calgary. There are some, and they treat their interaction with the media this way. They know that they have a product to sell, and they want to help you get what you need. They do have to protect their players. They do have to protect the image of their organizations, but they also understand that there is a, it's called media relations for a reason. You are supposed to relate to the media and enable them, help them do their job.
This is what I'm thinking. I think he's a douchebag. I don't like him. I just want to know. I know you got to be politically correct here, but I...
Adam might have to work with this guy again.
Am I right? Is this guy just an idiot? I mean, I think he's a moron. All right, go ahead.
I'll answer your question this way. You mentioned John. John did that job many years ago, did it very well, and the thing that he is best remembered for is doing exactly what I just said. He was great with the media. He made, and this is the important point, he made every person who covered the Rangers, whether they were, you know, a big shot writing for the Times or a guy writing for a weekly from Central Jersey, he made everybody feel important and special, and if they needed something, he took care of it. And that is a lost art, and you don't see that very often, and I will tell you that you see that, you don't see it often, you see it even less at the Garden.
Well,
it's unfortunate.
Okay.
I have covered the Rangers, and there is a, you know, there's a bit of a caste system there.
I think you can draw your own conclusion from what Adam just said.
You and I know,
having spoken to John Halligan the night we had him on the show, that he treated us no differently than he would have treated,
right,
you know, Emil Francis. You know, we were
Bill Mesa talking to him back in the day or something. You know, he treated us like with respect, and that's all you want. And he did not just with respect, but just like a kinship. You know, we had a kinship. We were Ranger brethren. You know, there was no airs about him. There was no, again, you know. So all
anyway,
right.
Back in the day, that job, the, you know, now they call it media relations director or whatever. And in the old days, it was called you were publicity. You were the publicity guy because that's what you wanted to do. You wanted to get publicity for your team, for the players. You arranged events. You got out there. You got the players out there in the community, and it was not the circle the wagon mentality that you have now, which is, you know, we have to limit access instead of enable access. We have to have somebody standing next to players for every interview to make sure that everything they said is measured and supervised. It's a different business now, and the way that you cover sports and the way that sports is broadcast and promoted, everything has changed. But it would have been nice to work to cover the game in the old days. It would have been nice.
Okay. All right. Anyway.
But I will say this before I came on tonight, I was going to ask you if profanities are allowed on your program because I don't want to bring the show down. But after you called the guy a douchebag, I got a sense of where we're going.
He just done some things to us that have been pretty underhanded and not underhanded, but just very.
He's a
Be thankful that your existence was acknowledged.
Yeah, I guess in some way. I guess that is some kind of tip of the hat, so to speak.
And very good. Now we'll just start work on the next Ranger book and hope that the Rangers cooperate.
There you go. Yeah. Good luck with all of that. Adam, we wanted to talk about, do you have time or are you in a rush?
Sure.
Okay.
No rush.
Well, since we have you with us, I wanted to talk about, Eddie, did you have anything else you want to ask Adam about now that you've outed his feelings?
No, I just want to know about him because I'm about to, I've been working on this article for Blue Shirt Banner. I'm not that I'm going to quote you, Adam. I just, I don't want to go out there. I don't know the man personally. And, but I'm going to, it's a scathing thing on the Rangers and how they deal with the media. And I guess I just was asking, but
Adam Rader has always been very happy with the support that he's gotten from the Rangers organization, said Adam Rader.
I'm not going to.
There's your
quote. Your name is not even going to be in this article. Don't worry about it. I'm just going to put you, it's just going to say, bye, Adam Rader. I will not be. No.
All right.
And don't worry. Adam Rader loves the Rangers organization and their press.
Absolutely. And we're all very happy to be part of the family.
Absolutely. We're all part of the Ranger family.
That's right. Just
you know, back in the day, they gave me, get this, and maybe this shows how times have changed. They once gave me a little Ranger camera, okay, a little point-and-shoot with the Ranger logo on it, with a little leather carrying case, a little pouch, with my initials stamped on it. H-A-R. I have this.
Wow.
Can you believe the clout I once held with that organization?
Wow. That is impressive.
That's right.
I wrote a book about the Rangers, and all I got was this lousy camera.
Pretty much.
All right.
Adam, who? Yeah.
Well,
so, Adam, you're working on this North Stars book now.
Yeah.
And let me see. Now, what, Dino is going to the Hall of Fame. Is Dino in this book? I'm sure he's all over it.
Oh, absolutely. Dino is in the book. Dino is in there. Steve Payne, Al McAdam, Cesar Maniago, Bill Goldsworthy, the Goldie Shuffle.
Pete LaPresti?
LaPresti gets a mention.
Okay.
Gets a mention. Gump Worsley, Craig Hartsburg, Bobby Smith, Madonna, of course.
Who did the Minnesota broadcast? Who was their main broadcaster back in the day?
Al Shaver.
Ah.
Al Shaver, the legend. And,
oh, that's right. Dan Kelly was St. Louis.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And the North Stars had I always felt that that was an interesting story that hadn't really been told in any depth. That they had a really interesting, colorful history. So I decided to do a book on the North Stars. Two runs to the Stanley Cup Finals. A lot of early tragedies. They had a lot of things happen to them in the early going. That you had the death of Bill Masterton, which was. The first death from an injury suffered during a game, which amazingly guys didn't run out and buy helmets, if you can believe it. I mean, he suffered an injury in a game against the Oakland Seals, and the next day the following day, passed away. Guys did not run out and get helmets. Some did, but most of them felt like I'm used to playing without a helmet. I don't like wearing a helmet because I can't tell if a guy is behind me. I'm not switching over. So, and then you had GM saying that, this is the only death that we've ever had in the game from helmets, so we're not going to make them mandatory. Players are skilled enough. This won't happen again. Very interesting. And then you had Henry Boucher, who was a player who was a Minnesota native who was attacked by a guy. Do you remember Dave Forbes from the Bruins?
Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah, he had a run-in with Dave Forbes, and Forbes basically cracked Henry in the face with the stick blade. broke the guy's eye socket, his career was never the same. So a lot of really, you know, they had some rough years. They had some early tragedies, but they also had some really fun years too. A great rival with Chicago and St. Louis and Edmonton. So
one of my favorite pieces of North Star memorabilia is in the Hockey Hall of Fame, and it's like this pimp hat that has the North Stars logo on it. Have you seen this?
The pimp hat? No, I haven't.
I have a picture of it. I'm going to send it to you. It is awesome.
Yeah.
It is cool. I don't know who wore it, when they wore it, but it's in the Hockey Hall. And I think at your first book opening, you should wear the pimp hat.
Would the Hall of Fame loan it to me?
What?
Would the Hall of Fame loan it to me?
No, but I can loan you the picture.
All right.
For the picture.
As long as he gets a photo credit in the book.
Right. No, that's fine.
Jim said Tony McKegney wore it in IM, and that's really all. There's no clause for that.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, come on. Jim is just a little old. Yeah. Anyway.
You can't prove that I said that.
So everybody is happy. And Jim, you want to ask our esteemed guest a question about the Rangers?
Well, I was gonna talk about this ESPN thing since we had Adam on the phone and we were talking about the, you know, the current situation with the organization and everything. And Adam, I don't know if you saw this, but ESPN the magazine put out their ultimate standings for 2010.
Okay.
And what they do is they measure how much the Major League Baseball, NBA, NFL, and NHL franchises give back to their fans in exchange for the time, money, and emotion the fans invest in them. It's all based on fan feedback, okay? And what they do is they have eight major categories that they rank each team in sports on. The eight categories are bang for the buck, which is wins during the past 3 years, per revenues directly from the fans. Fan relations, which is openness and consideration toward fans by players, coaches, and management. Mm. Ownership, honesty and loyalty to core players and the local community. Mm. Affordability, which is the price of tickets, parking, and concessions.
I don't like where this is going.
The stadium experience, which is the quality of arena and game day promotions, as well as friendliness of environment. Players, the effort on the field and the likability off of it. Coaching, the strength of on-field leadership, and then title track, which is championships already won or expected in the lifetime of current fans. Now, overall, the Rangers ranked out of 122 sports teams.
Now, just to clarify, this is all four major North American pro team sports?
Yes.
Okay.
Baseball, basketball, football, and hockey. Okay. So there's 122 professional sports teams. The Rangers overall ranked 104th. Ahead of them at 103rd were the New York Islanders.
Wow.
Now, if you look at this list, you can click on each one, on each category, and then resort the list. On bang for the buck, the Rangers ranked 109th. And that is wins during the past 3 years per revenues directly from the fans, okay? And then they also have, let me see, what was the other, there was another one here. Which is the fan relations, openness and consideration towards fans by players, coaches, and management. The Rangers ranked, hold on, I'm trying to scroll, 93rd. Below them, the Mets were 102nd.
Now, I don't want to interrupt you here, but Ranger Smurf has brought up a good question in the chat room. All the New York teams were in the crapper because affordability is like 40% of it. Was that the case?
Some of the New York teams ranked better than others. The Giants and Jets didn't really do too badly in most of these categories. They were kind of middle of the road. Same for the Yankees. But the funny thing is that the Rangers and the Knicks are near the bottom of just about every list.
Well, what do the Rangers and Knicks have in common, Jim?
Well, exactly.
common denominator.
In the category of players and owners show appreciation to fans, the Rangers ranked, where are they here? 97th.
I think that's actually being generous. But
yeah.
You know, yeah. Well, it's, you want me to comment, or is it, I mean, it's.
Let me just read you a couple, just a couple more of these. Players' accessibility to fans. The Rangers ranked 104th.
I actually would dispute that a little bit, only because the Rangers do. The Rangers go out of their way to have players make appearances at various events. Not all of which are on a boat circling Manhattan. Some of them actually are on dry land.
Yeah, but you know, a lot of it they want you to pay for. They want you to be part of an exclusive membership to their Blue Shirts United, and then they'll
Yes, yeah.
You know, they're not
what
sending Henrik Lundqvist out
to the good old Ranger fan club. That wasn't good enough. I'm still a member. What it cost me $15. They threw those guys under the bus.
Guys, listen,
it
underscores a bigger problem. You know,
John
that right now, hockey is facing a crisis in this country. It's falling behind NASCAR. I mean, it's already way behind NASCAR probably at this point. And in the New York area where you have three NHL teams, it's a real crisis. Nobody's paying attention. So you would think that teams like the Rangers with their resources would go out of their way to promote themselves, to try to get people in, get coverage, have people out there in the community. The last thing you should be doing is charging people. Believe me, if you work for the Rangers, if you're a player, you should be out there doing everything you can. You should be standing on street corners begging people to come to games. Because hockey needs that. Hockey needs that in New York. They're not the Yankees. They're not the Giants. They don't have that. They don't have that built-in, you know, massive fan base. You've got the hardcore, you know, people who go to games. People like, you know, you and me. But they don't have those fringe fans. You get those fringe fans by being out there. And they're not out there. And, yes, having these kind of little exclusive events where people have to go pay, you know, or just open to season ticket holders, it's kind of short-sighted. All of the NHL teams, especially the ones in New York, should be bending over backwards to promote themselves.
Now, well, you know, four NHL teams are in the top 15 on this list. The Penguins?
Minnesota Wild?
No. The Penguins, the Sharks, the Caps, and the Red Wings are in the top 15. And then 16th was the Blackhawks, and 18th was the Coyotes. And then Carolina was 21st, and Anaheim 23rd. So in the top 25, it's pretty NHL heavy.
Yeah.
But the Devils ranked pretty high. I know the Devils do a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they get their.
Hard. I mean, if you're a hockey team in New York, it's hard. You're up. You're competing with so much. You're not only competing with basketball, football, and baseball, which are tremendous. You're competing with Broadway. You're competing with a million other distractions, and people only have so much discretionary income. But if you're the Rangers in particular, because that's who we're talking about, you've been around since 1926. You know, at this point, there should be, I mean, they should be a bigger deal. And part of that is having players out there in the community. Part of that is having, part of that's having an owner and a general manager who engage the fan base and make themselves accessible.
Right.
And it's about opening your doors to any and all media, because, listen, media's changing. And if, you know, Jim and Eddie want to come cover a game, You let them do it.
We can.
Because they have an audience. And it's not Larry Brooks' audience, and it's not ESPN's audience, but it's an audience. And you have to be more accepting and more inclusive of other types of media. And it means letting anyone and everyone who wants to cover your sport, bring them in. Because you need that exposure. That's how you grow your fan base now.
Well, the NHL understands that, but the New York Rangers don't. They are
The NHL understands it to a degree.
The Rangers understand
it even less.
If we want NHL credentials for anything through Blue Shirt Banner, anything major, we got a good shot at getting it.
The NHL always helps
us out. But you talk to the Rangers, want to control every aspect of the media. They want no dissenting opinions. Everything has to be towing the corporate line and message.
Yeah.
If you say anything badly, you know, this is James Dolan's thing. He doesn't like the media and, you know, opinion to the contrary.
Yeah.
And that's so horrible because there are thousands of fans out there that would love to be embraced by the fans. But again, fans have raised this in the chat room. As long as they keep selling out, they have no reason to.
There's not a lot of motivation there. They must be making enough money where it's not they don't feel like they need to go that extra yard. But it's unfortunate because the fans ultimately do miss out, because if you don't provide access to media, and I don't want to bore fans fan could care less who gets a press pass or not, but in the end, the fan misses out, because if they don't provide access to you and me, then those are two fewer people that you can get news from. And, I mean, when I covered the Rangers, I mean, the media room was packed. And they used to send, I don't know, six or seven daily newspapers would fly with the Rangers. And the cutbacks, I mean, it's not granted, this is not all the Rangers' fault. I mean, newspapers just aren't sending as many beat writers out to go with teams on the charter flights. There's not as many newspapers covering the team on a day-to-day basis. They just assume get their news from the AP or Canadian Press or whatever. But in general, there were a lot of different types of media who were in there, and not anymore, man. It's definitely a smaller crew in there now, and
Their press conferences had three people call in. I listened to the whole thing.
Yeah.
It was Steve Zappe. Guess who he works for? It was Jess Rubenstein, who writes for the Prospect Park, and I frankly don't know how he got it, maybe through Blue Shirt Bulletin or what have you. And it was Andrew Gross. And that was it.
All names I know.
That was it.
The Rangers had three beat writers covering them at the draft. It was three beat writers and me and Jess.
Yeah. Now this is not to be fair, this is not the Rangers' fault. If Star Ledger doesn't want to send somebody, they could have been there.
Right.
But if they don't want to spend the money to send somebody out to the draft to cover it, then that's not the Rangers' fault. Where the Rangers should be held to task is if somebody from a legitimate but very small media outlet, maybe a website, maybe a weekly newspaper, who knows, if somebody wants to cover a game and they say no, that's different. Because then somebody's trying to get in there, and they're not going in there to get autographs. They're going in there to do their job, and you don't let them in.
I'm not here for the buffet or the free ticket. Maybe the buffet,
And
listen, granted, delightful buffet. Okay, I mean, really nice. Especially you get a weekend afternoon game. They put out the scrambled eggs. I mean, it's not bad, but I digress. I mean, you got to let people in. You got to let people in to cover your sport.
Yeah. Well, Adam, listen, we're just about to the end here, so we're going to let you go. Maybe you come back in a couple weeks and we'll talk some more about this, because obviously we could go on and on. But
I want to talk more about the buffet.
Well, we can talk about that too. Eddie and I could do 2 hours on food.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you,
guys. All right. Well, listen, good luck with everything, and I hope it cools down in the house, and we'll talk to you soon.
Guys, thanks a lot.
Anytime,
yeah, take
Adam.
Care, Adam.
Talk to you later.
Let me tell you something about this brutal chat room. Has been all over us, Jimmy, tonight.
You know what?
We have not entertained them enough for their dollar.
Go sit outside if you don't like it.
But without further ado, let's do the roll call so we can make everybody happy again. Let's have the last 5 minutes of the show be hysterical and fun and the whole bit. So here we go. Where's my introduction?
Oh, shit. My bad.
No problem. I'm stalling. It's too
you're
hot.
Stretching.
Mr. Mouth, Mr. Mouth.
It's Mr. Mouth, the new game from Tomy that can't keep his big mouth shut.
Mr. Mouth, Mr. Mouth.
Try to flip your chips into his mouth before he closes it.
Mr. Mouth, Mr. Mouth.
First one out of chips is the winner.
Mr. Mouth, Mr. Mouth.
I'll just give him my hippo hurricane collar.
Hello, Ranger fans. We've bought you for an hour and 50 minutes, 55 minutes to be exact. But now it's time to get all excited. Time for your pants to get real tight. The Ace of Spades, that's right. He's the father of Lemmy, who is the head of Motorhead. Or is the Ace of Spades a master card player? A guy that could beat the Cincinnati Kid at any time with his shrewd and crazy poker Fu Manchu style. And then there's Andrew from SFL, the master card collector, the guy who collects every Henrik Lundqvist card under the sun. He's got every patch, every jersey, every signature, and his wife allows it. So he is also in a great marriage. Avery Rules. Avery Rules is one crazy person. Again, I always forget, is Avery Eva or is Yogs Eva?
Yogs is Eva.
All right. So Avery Rules is the master of disaster, the man with the best Donald Brashear imitation in the history of all time. That's right. Yeah, yo, what up? And then Bullet for My Valentine, another wisecracker in the chat room, yawning and doing his thing. I'm watching everybody. I know what you're doing, Bullet for My Valentine. Oh, when I love you. CCP. I've met the man in person, and let me tell you, he's actually uglier in person than he is on the in the chat room. Now, CCP, I love you. You're a good man. You took some great photos of me and used that extra special wide lens when you did it. And I'm glad to see you in the chat room. City Hockey Fever, one of the all-time greats, knows his hockey like none other. City Hockey Fever, the man, the myth, the legend. Costa the Crazy Greek, a.k.a. Jerome. Costa did not call in today. Usually Costa makes me laugh. He's hysterical, funny guy, love him. And he is still on probation, so... Cup 94, hey, Cup 94, we love you. Rangers beating the Canucks in 7 games, how can we forget it? How can we forget Doug Glitzer scoring that goal? I don't know what game it was, but I remember Mike Keenan saying his family should be proud of him. Cutter, the Maple Leaf, Jeff Diamond. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, go to Leaf Crisis. Leaf Crisis, he has a video of Wade Redden and the Samoan sumo wrestler, the sumo wrestler, I think that's Eric Bugard. He's also got a website, which I'm going to try to paste in the locker room at this point. Go to that. It's a Leaf website, and I don't know. And then there's Frosty. They call him Tony. They call him Anthony. But what I call him is Frosty. Or I call him a colossal pain in my ass. But I'll tell you one thing. Frosty is with your thick and thin. He loves Bob Froese. He would marry Bob Froese if Bob Froese's religion allowed gay marriage, but he doesn't. He resists. He resists the temptation. Crofty is one of the all-time greats. And now we go to Yog 68. Her name is Eva. Her name is Eva. She's nice. She's
Eva.
Pleasant. And let me tell you, she's got two melons on her. Let me tell you. Oh! No, I'm only kidding. She's a great gal, and we love having her here. And really, she's the friend of the friendless. Now, Jay of the Dead. That's right, Jay of the Dead. His, we may have to exhume his corpse. Man, I got to go quick. Jolton Joe Micheletti. Jolton Joe JJ. Dynamite. John Newman, the great John Newman, called in earlier from Paramus, New Jersey. John Newman, we love you.
See you next week. We love you, everybody.
And then there's LeBron Blows. I don't know. I hope he's a Ranger. The Lou Ranger. Man, nah, the great man out. Mike Zippo, the double agent. Started the Fire Glenn Taylor rally, is now working for MSG. Mr. Magnum. Ronda Magno, love saying that. The Phoenix Ranger, who's actually cooler than the New York Ranger. Quick release to Chef. Why? And he's joined our own personal Hell's Kitchen blue shirt banner chef crew. I don't know. Ranger Smurf for 10,002. I love you for 02. I don't know. Ricky O, who dog has killed himself multiple times because of our guest. We rock 1193. Rock, we love you. Stone Cold Corey, I love you because you're the Stone Cold. I don't know if you're the Rainbow Stone Cold, Ice Cold, or are you Stone Cold Steve Austin. Walker, New York Ranger, reminds me of only one thing, and that's Walker, Texas Ranger. And let's face it, he's about as tough as Chuck Norris, Wark, New York Ranger, and Wazilly. Wazilly, the originator Terminator. The master, I mean, you know what I have to say, the great Wazilly, and Zach S. Zach S., you rock. I tried to go through it too quick, but we ran out of time. I'm sorry. I want to thank everybody for coming, and you can still chat while we go on. I don't know what the hell we're going to talk about unless we got some phone calls.
Yeah, I have Mandar and Scott with us. Good evening, guys.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Welcome to Blue Shirt Banner Radio Podcast After Dark.
$1.99 a minute.
No, it's free. We do this for free. And yet people bitch anyway.
It wasn't one of our best shows, let's face it.
I have fun making fun of Adam. I'm telling you. Come on next week. I like insulting the man.
We come on here and do 2 hours of Ranger talk every week when there's very little going on. What, the minute we get a call on the line, next caller, next caller. This guy's putting me to sleep. Next caller. Move on. Cut him off. Poor Robbie, the minute they hear his voice, get him off.
We're ruthless.
Like hearing Dave. Really,
like the blue shirt bastards.
That's what you should change the site to, the blue shirt bastards.
Well, from now on, that's what I call you guys in the chat room. You're not the wacky pricks anymore. You're the blue shirt bastards.
Bantering bastards.
Well, as much as I love to hear what the rankings are of organizations and spend 10 minutes on that, you know.
I was laughing when Bob called with the underwater thing and sound like Fred Skelton. Oh, my God.
Wait, he called from Florida, right? He called from Florida, right?
Yeah, he's down in Miami.
Tell me there's a Mississippi oil spill joke. I didn't see
on a reef, apparently.
Oh, my God. It was, like, brutal in the chat room.
I said
this is what Robert Wagner heard as Natalie Wood went down. And then Mandar and I coming up with the Paul is deadline at the same time.
Oh, that was unbelievable.
That was
all right. Stop patting yourself on the back. What's going on? Is this Mark Stahl thing going to drag out? What do you guys think?
Of course it is.
Yeah,
until he bears him down and beats him down to get what he wants.
Yeah, it's going to be the same thing like Dubinsky. There's not a doubt in my mind. Or, do you guys ever know who M. Leach is on the site?
Yeah.
I've never seen him, like, call in. I've never heard, like, seen him in the chat room, but I hate to say it. I don't mind that proposal of Bobby Ryan for Mark Stahl. I mean, I love
Stahl. In a second.
Wait, you're and Leach?
I don't think that sounds like outside the box thinking to me, and that's just not tolerated.
It's never going to happen, but...
Get back in the box.
Hey, I still argue that the 7 for Brodeur trade could actually help both teams. I know it'll never happen in the age of hockey, but it would really help both those teams. And I understand the dead silence. I do.
I think I'm losing my... I'm having a hard time hearing the other guys.
Scott?
Yeah.
Eddie's just having a hard time hearing you.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was saying, Washington needs a goalie that can actually win a playoff game. And the Devils could definitely use, another, if they don't get Kovalchuk, they could use another offensive force. Granted, they have no goalie, but it's an arguable point.
Kovalchuk still hasn't made his decision, huh?
No. That whiny Russian bitch.
The latest is that $60 million 8-year deal from the Devils that he's still waiting on somebody else to kind of do better than.
Well, the LA Kings just came back into the picture.
He's waiting till the last possible minute to make sure Glenn Sather won't overpay him.
He's just like everybody else in the NBA, he's probably waiting on LeBron's decision.
Yeah. How come Kovalchuk isn't going to be on ESPN announcing where he's going?
I still can't get over that. I mean, I have respect for LeBron as a player, like, all up until that. Apparently it's for a charity or event or something.
Well, he put that in later on to sell advertising so they could buy the Boys and Girls Clubs of America a new foosball machine.
Yeah, one thing, this bothers me about Ranger fans. Like, it makes sense. But, like, we can bash our team all we want, and we all know what's up. We know the deal and the whole bit. But once some other organization, we get any media coverage that bashes Sather, all of a sudden, ESPN, they don't know anything. Sports Illustrated, they're a joke. You know, everything's a joke when somebody else bashes us. Why not? I mean, I feel like, some credible news organization, although they're not hockey insiders by any stretch, is saying the Rangers are run terribly. I want that to be known. I want them to see that come across their desk, and maybe even if it's for a nanosecond, because they're not worrying about it, just going, And these people think we're buffoons. I mean, people in the media, ESPN, because, if I write it, they're just like, this guy's a jerk off. He doesn't know who he runs a blog. But if they see it in ESPN and Sports Illustrated, doesn't that go across somebody? Like somebody saying, look where we're rated in fan, And that was generous because.
Yeah, but it comes from the ownership. I mean, look, the Knicks were a laughing stock under Isaiah, and, Dolan kept him forever, so. Now, they have, Sather, it's Dolan that's brought it down onto that. But yet he's an owner that doesn't make waves. It's a strange kind of situation with Dolan. I mean, obviously he's not a Steinbrenner that went out and bought every player on his own. He had his Sathers and Neil Smiths do that for him. But he hasn't had the greatest track record with having guys running his teams for him.
Well, hold on. To get back to your point with the whole, we can bash on our team, but no one else can. It's just in my fraternity, I make fun of my brothers more than anybody in the world. If somebody comes in and says one little thing about them, that's it. It's toast. it's like we can make fun of each other and in our team, but we stand up to someone else who insulted. You kind of get where I'm going with it?
Yeah, no. That's why I thought that ESPN rankings thing was so great because it just justifies what Eddie and I have been saying for a year almost. It's just that this organization doesn't give a shit about the fans and they don't care. They don't make They don't care about being accessible. They don't care about putting a quality product on the ice. They only care about how much money they can soak a fan for. I mean,
oh, yeah.
You know, I went on a when Eddie still had his own, you know, a separate show, I went on a rant one night for about a half an hour about Blue Shirts United, because to me it was just unfathomable that in these economic times the Rangers could say to somebody, pay us $2,000 for a chance to get your picture taken with guys who won the Cup 16 years ago. That is just the most ridiculous thing I have ever heard.
It's unfathomable. And you know what's really unfathomable? Is assholes paid it.
You know, isn't it interesting? You had the Ranger GMs in the past. You had Neil Smith, extremely accessible to the media. I mean, you had John Ferguson, Craig Patrick. You had Emil Francis. It's like a history of being accessible to the media. I mean, look, Neil, if the Rangers were to win the Cup, you remember how Neil Smith was in the stands? You remember that when they were showing him in the last minute against Vancouver? You felt he was a Ranger, right? You felt he was part, not just part of the organization, he was a vital part of it.
Can you imagine Sather in the crowd?
No. I mean, you'd see him up in the luxury box up there smoking a cigar and having some Baskin Robbins.
That fucking turd in his mouth.
Right, it's that perception. Now, I don't know that he would run the team any differently if he was more visible or more accountable to the media. But in New York, it's something that comes part and parcel with the job. And when that doesn't happen, you have people bitching and moaning. Not only, you know, his moves are, you know, under a microscope anyway. And then when you don't give any kind of explanations or the sound bites that come out of you, it sounds like something that was written for you, you're never going to win that way in this town. Or that town, anyway.
I mean, you remember what we asked, when Eddie asked Emil Francis about the Rangers fan club when we had him on, he told us that, you know, he used to make his players go to the fan club functions, right, Eddie?
Yeah. I mean, the fan club was developed by an ex-Ranger, by a former Ranger, Frank Boucher.
Yeah.
If that is in history, a player making it, and he would make sure he did, Emil said it, if he would get his, even how bad, he told us about some of the fans making them really bad stuff to eat, like cookies and stuff, but they ate them. You know, and I know it all comes to, and this has got to drive Bettman crazy, because he's trying to promote this game, and they're not playing at all. James Dolan doesn't want to be affiliated with their website. Remember that thing? The Rangers wanted their own website a couple years ago. The Rangers aren't promoting the sport. Right.
That's a huge point. That's an excellent point. I mean, the NHL was never as popular as than they were after the Rangers won the Cup in 94. And to have the Rangers, the Islanders don't count even in the NHL or any other thought, but to not have the Rangers be, you know, at least in the hunt as a New York-based team, it spells disaster for the league.
Okay,
The offices are both based in Manhattan. Wouldn't it be great? I mean, you would think Bettman would be like, you know, why don't you get Henrik Lundqvist, Avery, and what have you, and we just stand outside the Garden and just sign autographs for an hour, 2 hours. And just do that. You know, that would be promoting the game of hockey in New York. But the bottom line is that's not going to happen, you know, because first of all, the Rangers won't allow it because, you know, they've promised 100 signed sticks to the Blue Shirt Band, the United people, by Lundqvist. Plus, Lundqvist, you know, I love him as a goalie, but he's fucking out of his mind with these autographs. $100, $120 a pop? Give me a break. Who can
afford that?
The fool that pays for that is a loser, and the fact that he charges that much. I know people make stuff on memorabilia now, but come on. You got to get real.
On a quick side note, do you guys ever, on the whole topic of the website, do you guys ever notice when Cerny talks, he's like, and check out NewYorkRangers.com? That's the site they got rid of. Now it's Rangers.NHL.com, but they'll never say that. They'll always say it's NewYorkRangers.com. They never say rangers.nhl.com. I've always noticed that.
I've never noticed that, but that's an interesting point. I'm sure he's directed as such.
To do that, I guarantee it. It's a little stick to Batman, to that little, like, go kiss my ass, Batman, that little bit. It still directs you to the rangers.nhl site, but yeah, I always noticed that, because I always figured that's one of like, Stolen's or Sather's, like, you know, screw you, Batman kind of deals.
It's the Eddie. What do you call it? The arrogance with impotence.
Impotence with what did I call it? Yeah, impotence with arrogance.
Yeah.
They're so impotent, but they're so arrogant. And the propaganda that they throw out. I mean, we've talked about this 2 weeks ago when they said Grachev was on schedule on their website.
Oh.
What? No. How stupid am I? Can you imagine doing a Met broadcast and F. Mart is in the minors and he's batting 150, and they come on and Hernandez goes, well, F. Mart's on schedule, or Manaea goes, he's on schedule. Every Met fan is like, what, schedule? You know what I'm saying? It's, what do you think, we're stupid?
That's exactly what they think. You know,
again, they treat the Ranger like a 12-year-old. And they don't want anything bad ever.
Your average Ranger fan accepts it and says, like, all they know is what they tell them. They're like little zombies, little like drones. They don't know better. They're like little kids. Like, oh, okay, well, the Ranger site says Grotches on key, so, oh, I guess he is. They, oh, 40 points, I guess that's pretty good. You know, like, they don't know. They're not... Intel, like, your average Ranger fan that just pays attention to the Rangers site doesn't know like we do. Yeah, they don't know that Cerny is full of crap and that he does what he's told.
I'll tell you what, most Ranger fans, I'd say at least 50%, if not more, Ranger fans are more educated than most other fans in the league. And a lot of us who have been fans for more than, let's just say, a year
definitely
or
the
2 years.
Ranger
know,
fans are... In the teams based in the States. Yeah, the Canadian fans, that's a different thing. I mean, they're a different
breed of hockey fan. They're psychotic. They know what's happening with the team before the general manager does.
I on July 1st on the trade deadline, I was in a chat room. I was watching it live on some like illegal feed or something, and I was with all kinds of fans in there, and. It was embarrassing because they were getting guys, and I was like, wow, good move, you know, bad move, whatever. And these guys, they were cool people. They were not, like, being, you know, idiots about it. They're like, that's just horrible. I mean, like, you know, these are people based in Canada who follow it, and they're telling, you know, and I'm like, yeah, I mean, I just get used to it. It just bounces off me. It's like, well, then always somebody said, well, you could be a Calgary fan. It's worse. So I'm like, yeah, I guess. You
there's
know,
always
I mean,
somebody more stupid, though. I mean, look. I mean, how many people pissed at him last year, and all of a sudden he makes that Gomez deal with, you know, with Gainey, so.
Yeah, that was
a big bailout. There always seems to be somebody more stupid.
Yeah, look, didn't Gainey get fired, like, a week later or something like that?
Well, during the season he did.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's I mean, you know, wouldn't you fire him after he made that deal? Especially seeing what McDonough's going to be like?
I don't know. I mean, hindsight's 20/20. Look what Gomez and look what they did. You know, Gomez and even Tommy Pyatt. You know?
Well, hopefully we have this discussion next year and we say, hey, but look at what McDonough did for us this year, right?
I would love that.
I haven't really looked at the roster, but really, how many spots do they have for these young guys?
Well, you have.
I mean.
Well, all right. You got to think. Bugard's not going to play every game, so there's going to be. I guess.
No, he is.
He should for 1.6. Don't get me wrong.
He will.
But you got to think. I think Byers is going to be your extra skater, or maybe like Anders Ericsson if they re-sign him as like your seventh D. So there's I guess maybe one. Then you have. I think they're going to get rid of Avery. To be honest with you, they don't need him. They've got Prust. Prust is Avery, you know? and he just doesn't draw as much attention to him to the refs as Avery does.
I'll tell you, the guy I think is in trouble is Christensen, even though they signed him. Penciling this guy in on the first line, I liked him in a couple of games of what he showed flashes, but there's a reason the guy bounced around in three or four teams in the last couple of years. Now, his contract was what, $875 a year for 2 years? That's little
to
nothing.
It was a little more than that, right? It was more like $975.
Well, I thought he was kind of low. But even still, let's just say, for argument's sake, it's under $1 million a year. He's no lock, in my opinion. There's no salary that he's making there that's forcing his way into the lineup. He might have a contract signed, but to me, he's got just as much of a shot. I could see Steppen coming in and impressing the hell out of him a lot more than him.
It's 925 is what he's making.
Okay.
For 2 years. So you're right.
And what's Steppen signed for, 875?
I'm sorry?
And Steppen signed for 875 or something like that, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Steppen's 875.
Okay. I mean, like I'm saying, I don't see Christensen as having a spot locked on this team. But it's dangerous. I think we saw it last year. It's dangerous to base a lot of decisions off of a training camp. I mean, Gilroy is a forward, and there's no two ways about it. The guy has hands, but, you know, he impressed the hell out of everybody making the team out of camp, and then it was like if somebody flipped the switch when the regular season started, and the guy totally disappeared. But
I think Brian Boyle's he's very tenuous as far as
absolutely.
I see him losing his spot or being traded or something.
Yeah,
he's not an asset. I mean, he was decent on the penalty kill, but he was nothing special.
But he's a dime a dozen kind of guy. They have other guys that can perform that role.
Yeah, he's only making $525,000 a year only. Don't get me started on that nonsense. But yeah, his spot's his to lose. You know, Steppen can easily come in and do what he does, and probably better. He didn't do too well, point wise, right?
Who are you talking about, Christensen?
I'm talking about Boyle. He only.
You don't expect Boyle to put up points, though. That's really not his role.
But I mean, come on, 6 points, 70. He played 71 games and 6 points.
Now substitute his name for Blair Betts, and you're like, well, Blair Betts was a great defensive forward that penalty kill and only scored 6 points a year, too. It's the same player, basically, just taller.
Okay, that's all
I'm saying. You know, I'm like, he's a dime a dozen kind of guy. There are plenty of guys that can do what he does. But,
yeah,
I'm struggling to think of this. I love the way Anisimov played on the fourth line. I'd hate to think of a young guy that, with that much talent, being a fourth line center. But they found a way for him to connect. So what do you do with him and Press? Do you move him up to a third or a second line situation because they were so successful and find a third winger there?
I put the two of them with Avery on the third line, and see how that goes. You know, hope Avery can take over for where Shelley did, or drop him to the fourth and put the boogeyman there and see how he does.
Okay, then where are you putting Drury then? On the second line or the fourth line?
I'm putting Drury in Calgary.
Well, you can wish. You can wish that all you want to, but if let's talk reality here. He's not going anywhere.
Drury's
he's just
play
not. Now he's unmovable. He has a no movement clause also.
Yeah,
well, we love that no movement clauses.
Right, so you're gonna put him. You gotta play him now. You're gonna put him on the fourth line. Your captain on the fourth line.
You can't put. They're not gonna put the captain in a $7 million spot on the. They'll throw him the wing if they have to.
Okay.
He can play wing. They'll second or third line wing. I mean, granted, I hate saying $7 million is gonna sit in a third line, but he can play second line wing. You know, Gavrik, Prosper, and I don't know. Zuccarello, Austin, or Doobie on the first. Callahan, Drury, and...
Well, you're forgetting Gavrik. Don't forget Gabby.
Who?
I said Gabby, Prosper, and Doobie, right? And then that's Zuccarello, Austin.
We got so many mediocre forwards. Gavrik might be caught in a numbers game.
Well, see, that's what I was. That's why I've been saying this for the last couple of months. We get too many fourth, fifth, and sixth line forwards. They're all interchangeable. They're all the same.
I like that. That was good. I like that.
But that, right? You know, I've been saying this all along. They're all the same player. We love Ryan Callahan. I love Ryan Callahan. I love the way he hustles. The guy's a 20-goal scorer. The guy plays on the third line on the upper three or four or five teams in the league.
Well, then again, everyone on our roster plays on the third or fourth line.
Well, exactly. This is why we keep focusing on the low balling talent, hoping to catch light in a bottle. You know, you got freaking Christensen again. I just bring him up because it just irks me to think that he's going to give us something that somebody else isn't.
Yeah.
Well, but it's all because, you know, they got to take these wild card chances because they've painted themselves into such a corner cap line.
Well,
they really can never improve until they get these albatrosses off their neck. I mean, they can't. And you're right. I mean, I love Callahan, and I love Dubinsky. You know, I'm a Ranger fan. I love those guys. But when it comes right down to it, on any good team, they'd be third liners.
Absolutely.
I really think that. I mean, there's room for upside. And I think, again, like I've said, I think Callahan is a crucial year to see if he can put more pucks in the net.
Mm-hmm.
And Dubinsky step up and be more of a leader and play more consistently.
Absolutely.
We're in the dark days, folks. We're in the dark days.
We've got a lot of good young talent coming up. But don't forget, we're evaluating our own talent, saying that we're so excited about these guys coming up. And we all are generally excited because we've never really had this much focus on our draft picks before. But aren't we getting lower and lower in the hockey futures, prospect ratings overall as a team? I think we were third 2 years ago. I thought we were 10th this past year, moving down. And it's not because guys are coming in the lineup.
Yeah, you noticed that, too? I was trying to figure that out. We're getting better prospects, but we're getting lower in the standings.
Well, that has something to do with us. We're so desperate to want to cling to our young guys being so great that we're not looking at a real objective a lot of the time.
Oh, yeah. Like, what I was saying, what I was going to say is, you just think, like, us with, like, I mean, Stalwart, don't get me wrong, he's fantastic, but we're so hung up on, oh my God, we've actually got a homegrown talent that can play. You know, this guy's God. You know, like that's, I mean, when's the last time we actually had, before, you know, Henrik and the rest of them, where we had somebody who we drafted that actually played for us that was amazing? Leach and Richter, you know, in the 80s. And then they
Leach,
left, what?
Tony Granato?
Yeah.
Amante?
You know, yeah, how long ago? I wasn't
Right.
I wasn't even born yet when those guys, you know.
No, you're right. I mean
look at we draft Savard, and then we're like, he's not going to do anything. Let's trade him. And now he's kicking ass. But well, granted, he's got.
Well, hold on a second there. Now, again, you know, that's your armchair quarterback. You see, we dealt him in order to trade up in a draft where we had two top 10 picks, and neither one of them panned out. But at the time, that was considered a good deal. We drafted Lundmark and Brendel. And at the time, Brendel was considered possibly the best in his draft class. We saw how that worked out.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of stuff doesn't wind up working out, but it was for, you know, there was a plan behind it for the youth, and it just never materialized. But
Christian Dubé.
I like Mark Stahl, and I'm only half kidding in the room when I'm saying, you know, he's overrated. But to me, Mark Stahl is Kevin Lowe, and there's nothing wrong with Kevin Lowe. I love Kevin Lowe. But Kevin Lowe is not your number one D. Kevin Lowe is one of your better shutdown Ds, but he's not going to be a centerpiece and somebody you're going to overpay for like I think he's trying to force the hand right now.
Yeah.
I we're all making a big thing of Mark Stahl where he's homegrown. He's just, yeah, he's good. He's and we love him because you know he shines on a defense that isn't exactly you know wonderful.
I mean, he's a light bulb that works in a bunch of broken light bulbs. And it's a really shitty analogy, but it's really what it is. He's really the only one that shines. You know, MDZ, you know, he's got his offensive ability. He was a rookie, so you can't really expect him to do too well.
I think he's got a lot of upside. He's gonna refine his talent. He's a big upside.
Yeah, and he's actually got tenacity too. We saw
yeah,
that a little
he
bit.
Would, he would hit. And he was what 18 when the season started.
Yeah, he's really young.
Sure. But McDonough seems to be a big guy that's going to hopefully do something there. And obviously we're going to still be with Roosevelt for whatever reason. I don't think they're getting rid of Roosevelt. I think Redden will be sent down, so there's another opening on D there. I'm not sold on Girardi. I'm sorry. I'm not.
Girardi's an average D. He's just an average defenseman. And I don't think he should get the $3 million he wants. I don't. I think 2.25 to maybe 2.5. I don't think 3. You know, I don't think he should get that much. And to be honest with you, I think Roosevelt is going to get traded to Dallas. Because Dallas, you know, what's their owner's name? Ricks or something? You know, he's financially strapped. And, yeah, they've got the salary cap space, so they can take that $5 million cap hit. But he doesn't make like $7 million over the next 2 years or something like that.
Right. So but nobody cares salary as much as the cap hit, though. That's the most important thing.
Yeah. Well, in Dallas, you know, they're so strapped for cash, you know. He's a decent defenseman. Yeah, he can play, you know. But they can't afford to pay Richards. You know, they can't afford to pay Richards, and hopefully somehow we don't get Richards and we get Ribeiro. I like Mike Ribeiro. I like him a lot.
Mike Ribeiro, you know what? If you're gonna give up a Roosevelt, who is your top two, regardless of how talented you might think he is, getting back another third, fourth line guy in Ribeiro. You're not getting a top two line.
I think Ribeiro's better than that.
He's a pretty good passer.
Remember when he lit up the Islanders for 5 assists in that one game?
Yeah, well, you can point to a lot of games where one player has a pretty much of a career game. He's not a second-line guy in this league, not on a talented team anyway.
I like your idea for Richards.
I think that would be fine. I think you're talking for Richards. Isn't Richards an unrestricted free agent next year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're talking Richards, now you're talking a first-line center who's legitimate. But again, you're giving up salary. They're only getting a net effect of about $2.5 million off of that. I don't know if that's enough for them to warrant doing it.
Yeah, I mean they need D. They need a defenseman too. You know, and they've got a couple guys in their system that can come up. You know.
And Brunstrom just went to arbitration with them too.
Yeah, well, Brunstrom was a bust. He gets a hat trick in his first game, and even I'm like, damn, great signing. And then after that, he's just...
The second coming of Al Hill.
Yeah.
Wow, totally dating myself on that one.
Yeah. All right, fellas. Dinner time.
Dinner time.
All right, we'll catch you guys next week.
All right, guys. All right. Take care.
Good night, everybody.
See you guys later.
Bye.